gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stations are people, my friends.
Yeah. Oh, my. 6 minutes after the hour. Happy Friday. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy. It's his birthday. Did I call it right, Jim? I said, what early bird special are you going to for your birthday?
That's how they are.
You are.
Yeah, I am. I'm going, a happy hour, half-price sushi.
Dude, half-price sushi?
Day old sushi?
No, it's not. It's good sushi.
It's Friday, dude. I'm just saying, go nuts. Go out at, 5:30.
Well, I'm not going for the sushi. I'm going for the deep-fried tempura mozzarella that they have.
Yikes. Oh, dietetic.
No. That doesn't sound kosher.
This is why you're fat.com.
Absolutely. Okay. It's my birthday, for crying out loud.
I know, it's not a weeknight, though. Go crazy. Stay out till 6:30, maybe, huh?
I might do that tomorrow.
Yikes. Great.
Oh, sun's going down.
Gotta go. Hey, it's Friday, speaking of parties.
It's Hugo saying.
Good morning, children.
In the New York Bureau, all 3 hours. Sexy Liberal John, Fugelsang.
Chris, we're your friends. We're worried about you staying out till 6:30 on a weekend.
I am not like you. I'm going nuts.
Don't worry, I hired elder care for him. It's all fine.
He might go urinate on some corpses later.
Inadvertently. We'll get to that story.
You're confusing that with Dana Lash's birthday party.
John Fugelsang is in his usual Twitter fight, this time with Dana Loesch.
No, not me.
Well, I had she retweeted one of John's tweets, but I kind of got in a little fight with her.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did.
Just in honor of your birthday or just for fun?
No, just for fun, because she said that if she were over there, she would drop trow and urinate on the corpses herself. Mm-hmm. And I just tweeted that Dana Loesch loves to pee on dead people.
Ah, well, she seemed to provide evidence for that.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. Let's see. What did she say?
That's part of that family values platform. Yeah. And, it's great saying that a signal that I think it's okay if you do this to our dead fallen soldiers, foreigners. I mean, that's pretty much all Dana Lash is doing. And I like how she's actually taking out the offensive words. Like, she'll put little asterisks so there's no curse words. So she's okay with our troops desecrating corpses. She's okay with our troops desecrating their own oath to the Marine Corps. But bad language. No. We're too good for that.
Don't say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. I mean,
she's very, very tasteful.
Did you see what Atlas Juggs said?
Pamela Geller?
Yeah. She said, I love these Marines. Perhaps this is the infidel interpretation of the Islamic ritual of washing and preparing the body for burial.
Wow.
Thank you, ugly Americans. Thank you.
Wow.
Can I call her a
C-word? By the way, we always got called troop haters? Does this not put American troops in danger?
It absolutely does.
In intense danger. Yes, it does.
Yeah. I mean,
and it's a violation of the Marine Corps oath, so I want to hear Dana Lash criticize the Corps and the Commandant when they discipline these soldiers.
This is actually against the law for troops to desecrate
American law.
Even John McCain said this should be the most extreme punishment possible.
I mean, American absolutely. Law, international law, and the law of the Marine Corps.
And Jim, you were saying that Obama derangement syndrome has gotten so bad that they're trying to find a way to go, it's no big deal.
It's no big deal, but it's Obama's Abu Ghraib. It's the worst thing ever in the history of anything.
It's Obama's fault somehow, even though it's a good thing.
Yeah, except Abu Ghraib was in a country that never attacked us. It wasn't to dead people, it was to living people.
Right.
And you guys defended it at the time. Rush Limbaugh called it frat hazing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is, it's Obama derangement syndrome.
Kenyan socialist Muslim.
Meet Skeeter.
He raised taxes 14 times.
As you can tell, Skeeter is afflicted with Obama derangement syndrome. America. Skeeter is unable to distinguish wild fantasy from reality. There is no cure, but there is hope.
He's arrogant.
For less than the price of 2 decaf triple lattes, you can sponsor someone with Obama derangement syndrome.
All he does is blame Bush for everything Bush did.
With your help, Skeeter and thousands like him can receive the equivalent of an 8th grade education.
Death panel.
Learning basic civics, economics, science.
He had a big hip-hop barbecue.
And hygiene.
Community organizer, communist Hitler.
We might not be able to cure him.
They're not rich people, they're job creators.
But we might prevent Skeeter from running for a second congressional term.
Obama is in cahoots with Barbara Streisand and Al Gore, who has a big house.
Please help us erase Obama derangement syndrome.
Madrasa.
A half-baked thought is a terrible thing to waste.
Oh, Lord.
charge for anything.
Wow, that's a public service right there.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hey, speaking of public service, John Fugelsang, sexy liberal, rocked him in Seattle, ladies and gentlemen. Or excuse me, in Portland this past Saturday. Rocked
what
him.
What a great show. Stephanie Miller rocked him in Portland. You hear about this, Kristen,
no,
Jim?
John Fugelsang.
Oh, my God, the woman tore the house down.
No, no, listen to me.
Tore the house
sliced
down.
Sliced bread wishes it could be John Fugelsang.
Thank God they were insured because the house was torn down. There was holes in the roof when she was done.
All right.
So much sexy.
Philly coming up next February 4th. And then, by the way, John, you may not have even heard the breaking news. I mentioned it yesterday, that we were very close to being the highest grossing comedy ever in the Chicago Theater in Chicago. We just broke that record yesterday.
No way.
We are the highest grossing comedy show in the history of the Chicago Theater.
Wow. And,
I would hurry and get those tickets for March 3rd. There are a few left. But
that means they'll have to pay us this year, right?
Like something. Right?
That'll happen. Awesome.
Totally. No, you know what? I have to say, John, I can't say it enough. You, better than sliced bread. Me, of marginal talent.
Oh,
so
dear,
to me, it's the awesomeness of our fans, not me. Number one still on Amazon, the comedy album. It's unbelievable.
I say it's the first political comedy album to go number one. First political comedy album ever, number one on Amazon and
thank
Billboard.
Thank you.
And the highest charting political comedy album in 50 years.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And I want to, I oftentimes, because you know I drink quite a bit, I want a French kiss each and every one of our listeners.
And she will if you're in the front two rows.
Yeah. There's a really good chance of it.
I want to say about Portland, everyone in the second row is legally married to Stephanie in Guam.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. So, and the good news, John, is it's only getting betterer and betterer on the Republican side. The Republicans are just eating their own like crazy now, especially over this Bain stuff. Oh,
I never thought
they're disintegrating.
It's so many liberals. Liberals cheering for Newt Gingrich. It's beautiful.
I seriously, I'm warmed up to the prickly little cactus. I really have. I want to spoon that angry little attack muffin.
Ooh, really?
You know, the good news
fire bomber.
The good news is it's working. They're tied. South Carolina.
Wow.
It's Mitt and Newt. The new poll is, Romney's at 23, Gingrich at 21 in the margin of error. And then, down in, let's see. Second place, here we go. Santorum and Paul are basically tied for in a close race for third. Santorum at 14%, Ron Paul at 13% in the latest poll.
And we can thank Rick Perry for his vulture capitalism quip.
Thank you.
Oops.
Yes,
oops.
He's coming back. He's coming back.
Oh, my God. And now they're totally pussing out because they're just getting the bejesus beaten out of them by the Republican establishment. So, except you know who else I love now?
Who?
Sarah Palin. You know,
what?
I've always loved her. You know, I've always said, particularly that soothing tone of voice. I've always loved her.
I've always loved you.
Yes. Go, sister. Go, Caribou Barbie. It's your birthday. Palin says Romney should address Bain attacks by showing proof on that jobs claim. Please, thank you.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Wow. The same week that Todd endorses Newt Gingrich.
Right.
The same week, which I love because. Besides
he's
the fact that neither of them will ever sleep in the White House, but Todd endorsing Newt Gingrich means a guy who wants Alaska to secede from the Union likes a guy who seceded from two already.
Yeah, it's a marriage. The obvious thing would have been Rick Perry, the other secessionist in the race, but no.
Yeah, exactly.
Todd's going to be sleeping on the snow machine.
Rick Perry in New Hampshire was statistically in a tie with Beaker from the Muppets. He got 0% of the vote, and so did Beaker.
Yeah, this is really unbelievable, the way the party is just disintegrating. The Chamber of Commerce came out, and so basically all establishment Republicans going after Gingrich and Perry.
Yep.
Although, then there's the Sarah Palin going rogue. Let me read you the story. Sarah Palin defended some conservatives' attacks on Mitt Romney.
As real conservatives will.
Jim, it's the first time I've ever read her word salad and went, well, that makes perfect sense. Yes, she has a point.
Wow. That takes some doing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Am I high or is she? I can't tell.
Wow. Called on the presidential candidate to provide proof that his former company, Bain Capital, created 100,000 jobs, as Romney dubiously claims, and most experts is that it's complete bull. You know.
Yeah.
Palin told Fox News' Sean Hannity, I love this. That attacks on Romney's time at Bain from rivals like Rick Perry and Newt Gingrich are entirely fair because the frontrunner must be held accountable. All right, Jim, here, go ahead. You can read the word salad, but, it's here you go. Makes sense this time. Give me some Sarah Palin music.
Oh, sure.
My Caribou Barbie music, thanks.
Okay.
I think what Governor Perry is getting at is that Governor Romney has claimed to create 100,000 jobs at Bain, and people are wanting to know, is there proof of that claim? And was it U.S. jobs created for United States citizens? You know, not to the claims that are being made, and that's fair. That's not negative campaigning. That's fair to get a candidate to be held accountable to what's being claimed. Mm-hmm. Nobody should be surprised at things about Bain Capital and maybe tax returns are not being released yet and records not being as transparently provided to the public as voters deserve to see right now. Don't be surprised that that's all coming out today because it would come out as an October surprise by Democrats. These GOP candidates not bought them out today. A number of concerns.
That's right.
Go white girl. Go white girl. Go white girl.
That's right. Good point. Well said.
Statement she's ever made.
Well said. Okay. Mm-hmm. Still way too many words, but still filling out the blue book.
In addition.
Yeah, and also a little miss in this teen South Carolina. Also, U.S. citizens have a right.
Citizens.
Is it U.S. jobs?
U.S. jobs, because Mitt created a lot of jobs in Asia.
That's sure. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got that. Was the first. I was like reading through the word salad going, wow, she's hitting all the points. Rock on, sister. Yeah, that's right. It's her birthday and yours. Woo!
Yeah!
Yeah!
They hate Romney so much they'll take down the entire party.
Yeah, right. Go, yeah. Go, Caribou, Caribou, go, go. Yeah,
yeah. We gon' party like it's your birthday.
Alright.
It's your birthday.
Alright, sorry, we're having too much fun.
And that's where we cut the song out on radio.
Yeah, there you go.
Because it gets a little ribald after that.
Yeah.
Speaking of rap, so John Fugelsang is the one that sent me the sexy liberal rap with just the subject line, "My God."
Oh, yeah.
What has happened to this phenomenon? Is it awesome? Macaroni, the new official rapper of the Stephanie Miller Show. Sorry, Young
He's
MC.
The man. Yeah, Young MC is no longer the official rapper.
Yeah.
Well, in fairness, Young MC is more like Jared All MC at this point.
Young MC listens to the show from his house in Phoenix.
That's how we love Young MC.
That's how we got in trouble the first time because Jim made a Young MC's not so young anymore joke.
He's middle-aged MC, but he's still young at heart. He was up in the air. He's going to sing with George Clooney. He's awesome.
Wow.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's right.
And if he would do a sexy liberal rap, we would just we'd ditch Macaroni like nobody's business.
You know, we're coming to Phoenix next month.
You know how treacherous we are.
Hey, he's going to be the official rapper in Phoenix.
There you go. All right. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show, 22 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Equine Outreach. It's a nonprofit horse rescue. Please help us help our horses. Go to equineoutreach.com to see how you can contribute. Thank you. That's our sexy liberal cause for Portland, John Fugelsang. They were at the Portland show.
Wonderful cause.
Oh. I know. You got to see their website. A lot of these horses abused and neglected, and entirely nonprofit.
And we have a link to the website up at stephaniemiller.com.
Oh my God! How does that happen?
I know, right?
That's awesome.
I'm very proud by how many animal charities we've been helping on this tour.
Yeah. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We were just saying how really magical and delightful it is that the Republican Party appears to be just splintering in front of us. In fact, Jim, who was it? Frank Luntz yesterday said this will be the moment.
Yeah.
That we saw, what did he call it?
Eight or 9 months from now, this will be the moment that we saw the GOP party splitter.
The disaster start to happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there's so much beauty to it. Newt Gingrich doesn't realize that by wrecking the Romney campaign, he's accidentally done the one thing he hates the most, help the middle class. Gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, you know what they're saying? It's this wisdom. A lot of the people that are backing, these super PACs, they're going, no, this is good. It strengthens the candidate for the general.
Oh,
and we're like, yes,
sure,
go.
Them.
Yes, bloody him up, yes. Scuff him up, it's the only way to make him stronger.
Boy named Sue.
Exactly. A number of conservatives have come to Romney's defense and accused Gingrich and Perry of employing left-wing attacks. Rush Limbaugh even compared Gingrich to Fidel Castro.
Oh, God.
That's hilarious.
Oh. It didn't take long. 2 weeks ago, Rush was defending Newt, talking about he balanced a budget, my friends.
Yeah, and now Sarah Palin giving him air cover from her helicopter with a rifle. Giving Newty some air cover on his attacks.
Well, the guy who wrote the Left Behind books just endorsed Bush. Just endorsed Gingrich. So
oh, really?
Somebody's in a rush for the end of the world.
Uh-oh.
Really?
Really.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That and Todd Palin in the same week.
Yeah, this is, I mean, this really is incredible because they're in a full-on panic, John, I'm telling you. Republicans rally around Romney after hits on Bain. An array of Republicans and conservatives, including some of Mitt Romney's sharpest critics, and they hate him. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
You know, making money, this is what we do by destroying people's jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They rushed his defense to counter efforts to paint the former venture capitalist as a job killer under fire. Romney's rivals, Newt Gingrich and Rick Perry, backed off.
But that's what he is. That's why it's great. Like, Mitt Romney is going to teach America and conservatives more about the evils of the 1% than every Occupy Wall Street movement could in their wildest dreams.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that that's what I was saying yesterday, John? It's like a perfect storm right now between the power of the 99% movement, and Mitt Romney is the poster boy for 1%, and now it's other Republicans bringing it up. It's so beautiful. I can't stand it.
It's amazing.
In fact, I can't believe he actually used the word. The head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce said, we're
disappointed!
I just love it. He said it's the business group doesn't endorse any presidential campaigns, but Donahue said, we think Romney has a pretty good track record. Perfect? Hell no, but damn good. And the rest of you, I am.
Disappointed!
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I love is that the Republican Party for so long has been the servant of two masters. You know, there's the golden calf worshipping trickle-down Wall Street guys that caused the economy we're all grateful for, and then the social conservatives who are our homophobic right-wing Christian friends.
Right.
We love them all. But for so long, the social conservatives have been the dupes of Wall Street, and the Wall Street guys, the Bush had a fake Texas accent, man. They tell them everything they want to hear, and they get in line, and it's not working for Romney. Romney's got to do like a personal ad that says, corporate buyout specialist seeks gullible conservative voting base, must love being lied to for long-term commitment. Because that's the only way he's going to lead these people on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and plus we were saying, like, Gingrich and Perry, you know, can say they're scaling back as much as they want. Too late. Cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
You've already said it, you know.
They've done it. And Gingrich is amazing because for a while it's like, okay, Gingrich is auditioning for higher public speaking fees. Then it's like, oh, Newt Gingrich really wants a convention speech. Now it's like Newt Gingrich wants to be shunned by the Republican Party for the rest of his life. His short-term arrogance has wrecked his long-term narcissism.
Yes, which is tough to do. Mike Huckabee said it's surprising to see so many Republicans embrace that left-wing argument against capitalism. Well, they've made the argument beautifully for us. That it's not capitalism we're
it's
against.
Not.
It's not. You know,
It's evil. It's greed.
Yeah.
And no one hates Mitt Romney more than Mike Huckabee, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, exactly. That's what I mean. It's like, you know, that is exactly. And as we were saying, the Occupy movement, John, and you've been in a lot of them, so have I, it has done such a service for the conversation in America about income inequality, and this couldn't be better. It couldn't be better time to further make the point. It's like, this is not capitalism. It's not free enterprise. It is, as Rick Perry says, thank you, little dumber boy.
Yeah.
Vulture capitalism. Thank you, little dumber boy.
All the efforts.
That's the shocking thing. It's made Rick Perry and Sarah Palin look genius. How do you accomplish that?
All the efforts of the right-wing media and the mainstream media to marginalize Occupy Wall Street have failed because they got the message out. They reframed it. We are the 99%. And when you look at Mitt Romney, and I'm sorry, it's Mutt Romney that's going to win this election, because when American children hear the story of the Romney dog strapped to the roof of the car, they will shame their parents into reelecting President Obama.
He hates puppies.
I'm telling you, the 1% of the Louis Vuitton luggage and the 99% are the dogs strapped to the roof of that car.
There you go. Rudy Giuliani, of course, said that the attacks against Romney are...
You're despicable.
He said, I'm shocked at what they're doing. I'm going to say it's ignorant, dumb. It's building something we should be fighting. Ignorance of the American economic system.
Ignorance.
Oh, no, Rudy, we get it.
Yeah.
We get it. That's the problem. Romney's new defenders, many of whom have long histories of... hating Mitt Romney. I'm just going to paraphrase here. The article says disagreeing with.
No, it's hate.
Hate.
Yeah, it's hate.
They loathe him. They loathe him. It's beyond loathe.
Loathe?
It's a dry hate.
20. With the tip in at the buzzer, 29 minutes after the hour, back with more Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
obviously you do not know the difference between
Stephanie Miller
and foolhardiness.
There's a difference?
Uh-huh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Gee, Chris, it's so unusual to have right-wing blogs and stuff get things wrong.
Yeah.
What?
What's this new one
okay,
I'm on?
Listener Paul sent me to, should I say the name of the site?
I don't know what
it is. It's not safe for work, definitely. It's Seductive Jewess.
As in Jewish woman?
Yes, Jewess.
Oh, okay.
Okay, uh-huh. And there's a little bit about you in here.
Yes, who is?
Huh?
It says the
not
early...
Not Jewish, yeah, but okay.
The early
First of all.
It says the early 1990s found this big-breasted Jewess performing at several...
this is some other woman, not me,
right.
But then I mentioned. Okay,
several San Fernando Valley strip clubs, including the Itchy Kitty, which also featured another young Jewess, and later Air America political commentator named Stephanie Miller dancing in the nude.
What? Okay, well, let's review.
Yeah, there are many things wrong.
First of all, the Itchy Kitty.
Did Mitt Romney write that?
The Itchy Kitty is a fictional place that I made up
it's
as a joke.
Never
it's how
existed.
I started my career as a dancer at the Itchy Kitty in Reseda. Secondly, not Jewish.
Catholic.
Love a lot of Jews, not Jewish.
Why the Goldbus and Millerstein ticket failed.
Sure. Also, never been Air America, but
other than that, you're spot on.
Other than that, spot on. never danced in the nude. Not even in my own shower.
You do that material about the Itchy Kitty on the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour Volume 1 album, and I'm guessing this person heard the record.
Oh.
Because it is the top-selling comedy album
and
in America.
Presumably bought it.
And presumably that's someone who is debasing our album.
You are a brilliant comedian and the most ham-handed plugger I have ever. It's like with oven mitts you do those plugs, just with a sledgehammer.
But they're
effective.
I'm serious.
The bit's on the album. It's out there right now, so I'm guessing the guy just heard it.
Sure. Mm-hmm. They don't kind of get comedy, do they?
But they control for hate on albums, too, not just the album.
All right. Hey, Ellen Washington gets comedy. She was at Sexy Liberal Portland. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. Oh, it was a fabulous show.
Aw, you guys were, seriously, John, we've had some great crowds. You guys, Ellen, I think were the most loving crowd. And that's not how you normally describe comedy club crowds.
Oh, Ellen, it was a really good show. I have a theological question for John.
Yes.
If that's okay.
Comedy Jesus.
Sure, I'm happy to desecrate.
Okay. Supposedly, there was Adam and Eve, and we are all descended from these two people.
Yes, we're one big inbred human family.
Yes.
Well, they had three sons, and they obviously had, quote, daughters-in-law. Well, who were they, and where did they come from?
Exactly. Exactly.
There is no answer. Only questions.
I mean, there is no answer. You can browbeat a theologian into this, and they'll eventually say, "Well, they must have been cousins." You know, but they had no cousins.
But where did they come from?
Exactly.
It's a parable for how they thought the world started.
Well,
back then.
Ellen, you're so cute. You're like asking Daddy, "Where do babies come from?"
See, this is what I like about
the Bible.
What I like about the book of Genesis, and these are people who want to believe a talking snake was literal, but Jesus saying, give all your possessions away to help the poor was metaphorical.
Yeah, that was metaphorical. They don't mean that. Ellen, thanks so much for coming to the show.
Thank you, Ellen. It wasn't even meant to be taken seriously by the guys who wrote it, you know?
No.
And the book of Genesis it's a book of fables. It's parables, like Jesus did his teachings in parables. But if you keep looking to prove the facts of the Bible, you'll never find the truth of the Bible.
Well.
And that's a story about order and chaos, that God imposes order, man throws it into chaos, man screws it up again, but we get another chance.
No,
and that's what liberals believe in.
It's about the space aliens trying to make a more perfect worker who's just dumb enough to work them in the mines.
Sure. So
that's actually in Genesis. Angels mate with humans,
exactly.
And they have giant children that run.
Yeah.
There's sci-fi.
It's really like iRobot. Will
Unlucky.
Yes.
What chapter is Will Smith in the Bible? Comedy Jesus.
Were flying saucers flown into volcanoes involved?
No. I'm not sure that Will Smith's in the Bible, but there are rumors he's mentioned in Dianetics.
Thank you. My personal comment. Comedy Jesus. Yes.
That was a great audience in Portland, man. I got off stage.
I said,
it's still Christmas. Get out there.
I was saying, because, you know, we've all worked at comedy clubs, and loving? Not the word you used
not,
to describe.
Not, no.
I got interrupted several times with just, we love you, mama, which was very startling
what?
For someone that began their career with, show us your, you suck.
That's why it's such a great thing that we're doing this in these beautiful theaters. And there's great comedy clubs all around America, but there's a lot of toilets, too. And you're not going to hear good political material in a lot of comedy clubs. So that's why we're doing it.
Yeah, did I tell you I heard my favorite thing at the meet and greet? Somebody asked me, is so-and-so John Fugelsang's bit on the album? I couldn't hear it. People were laughing too hard. Another perfect reason to buy the album. There you go.
The album's gotten a lot of good response.
All right.
People like it.
Let's go to Jill in Chicago. Hi, Jill.
Hey.
Hey.
I wanted to comment about the challenge the Republicans are facing with trying to sell their failed policies. And, of course, somewhere Frank Luntz, their chief propagandist, is in a room somewhere with a thesaurus trying to come up with some things to say.
Yeah.
You know, he made a comment. He was very terrified about this Occupy Wall Street because it might inform the country of what they're up to. Mm-hmm. And I have heard a new talking point, if you guys want to kind of be on the lookout for it. They like to claim that there's opportunity versus outcome. That's their latest talking point. Of course, opportunity is rampant throughout their little,
Well, you know what? That's why he's terrified, Jill. I mean, he was already terrified about the Occupy movements, but he's been freaking out lately. Have you seen about this whole, no, stop defending capitalism? Because the problem is...
Don't you know he is?
Right, because we realize this brand of capitalism practiced by the likes of Mitt Romney is not fair capitalism. I think we're all for fair free enterprise, fair capitalism.
We're anti-evil.
Yeah.
No, honestly, it just shows that they are really coming to realize that the jig is up for them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. That's why you're seeing this, I think, epic freakout on the Republican side. You really are.
And well, the jig is... Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
What they're doing may be legal, doesn't make it right.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I love that. Who was it? Giuliani? I think that was like, oh, it's risk. It's about, it's always written. No, Mitt Romney was not the one taking risk.
No, right.
His investors were not the ones taking...
He was risking other people's money.
Exactly.
Yeah. May I quote a Republican, please?
Yes.
Theodore Roosevelt, State of the Union Address, 110 years ago. We are not attacking the corporations, but endeavoring to do away with any evil in them.
Yeah.
We are not hostile to them. We are merely determined that they shall be so handled as to subserve the public good. We draw the line against misconduct. Not against wealth. Teddy Roosevelt, 10 years before he quit the Republican Party and ran as a progressive.
Mm-hmm. A prominent fundraiser in South Carolina, Barry Wynn, shifted his support from Perry to Romney in light of these attacks, which he said crossed the line in a political party that values free market capitalism. That's what it is now.
Gutsy call.
Uh-huh. The backlash against Gingrich and Perry snowballed Thursday. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, as we said, went on record as saying they are disappointed.
Disappointed!
Mm-hmm. Earlier in the week, Rush Limbaugh, often a Romney critic, called Gingrich's comments out of bounds for those who value the free market. Club for Growth president labeled the attacks disgusting, and Jim DeMint, who endorsed Romney in 2008 but is on a line this year, suggested Romney's critics don't understand the principles of our party.
Huh.
This is what we do. We rape and we pillage and sack.
What's wrong with you people? They're offended when the free market says happy holidays to avoid offending Jewish customers. That's wrong.
Yeah.
Turns out Goldman Sachs is a verb.
Yeah. I loved him in. He said to have a few Republicans in this race beginning to talk about how bad it is to fire people, it really gives the Democrats a lot of fodder. Yes. Yes.
Please and thank you.
Uh-huh.
It's really win-win.
Well, Gingrich said, I'm not going to back down. Good boy. Cowboy. Yeah. Yeah, during a campaign stop yesterday, he made no mention of Romney, nor did he repeat the criticism. But, John, my point is, he doesn't have to now.
Right.
Now he's got millions of dollars in this super PAC. He's got these ads going forward.
Mm-hmm.
What's the group about winning our future? They pressed ahead with plans to run. Here you go, Post Citizens United, everybody. It is like millions and millions of dollars
and
is pouring in for everybody.
Untraceable.
Santorum, Gingrich, all of them.
Untraceable. We have no idea where this money's coming from.
We never thought Citizens United would work out well for us, but this is going quite well so far.
So now
I still don't think it's working out well.
It's
making the entire political process so toxic.
No, I'm joking.
I know you're joking.
What I'm saying is they're going to keep these three. There's a story. There are three billionaires that are going to keep this primary going as long as possible. At this stage, Democrats couldn't hope for anything better.
Yeah. I think it is working out well because the only way we're ever going to see any kind of repeal of Citizens United is for our Republican brothers and sisters to realize how screwed up it is.
This sucks.
This sucks.
Placed by their own petard.
Yeah.
Even Perry, who had, you know, avoided attacking Romney, yet he defended the approach later, arguing Republicans were better off airing concerns now than letting Democrats exploit it in the fall. Yes.
Yes. You
Once again. Mm-hmm. Yes. Bloody up your own candidate. Yes.
By the way, every time Rick Perry walks into a room, I want somebody in South Carolina to scream, "Dead man walking." He's earned it. So now Newt gets to talk about his positive campaign again. Newt's back to positive campaigning this week. And every time Newt mentions a positive campaign, an angel coughs up blood.
I just think
I'm going to burst.
I don't want to be out there. Rick Perry says, I don't want to be out there defending practices that put people out of work. My point is, if we're going to be the party of positive job growth, we need to be really careful about creating these type of situations.
Rick Perry said something that made sense.
Yes, exactly.
That's the lead.
Stop clock.
Of course, Rick Perry thinks job growth means Carl's Jr. is hiring for the overnight.
Exactly. You get a Whataburger job, and you get a Whataburger
job. Yay, Whataburger.
Oops.
Brian and Charlotte, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, it's not surprising that Newt took the tack that he did, considering what happened when he was put to the back of the plane.
Yeah.
But you got to understand what happened in Iowa.
He got put in the back of the Iowa plane. Yeah. He was having a fit.
He's the Rosa Parks of overprivileged white guys.
Never going to win the nomination. He just wanted higher speaking fees, like John said, or book deals. So he, you know, when he said to Romney, "Hey, you know, we're going to run a clean campaign," he was saying to Romney, "Look, I just want speaking fees. I just want books." And Romney basically carpet bombed him and basically went at his livelihood. So now he's ready to.
Yeah, now he's running for president, apparently.
Right, I'm saying, now he's ready to burn the house down because he let, like John said, he let his bad attitude get the best of him. I mean, you go at somebody's job like that. Now he's coming after Romney. He's coming after Romney's livelihood. So and right now in North Carolina, he's leading.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep, I hear you, Brian. You know what? It's oddly enough, this is exactly how John Finkelstein got me to do the Sexy Liberal Tour. You know, he tried positive reinforcement. Yeah. He cried, "You're such a great comedian. You really ought to do this. We really ought to." And I was just like, "No, I don't leave my house." And then he started getting rough. Remember, remember that, John? A lot of pushing and shoving.
I started calling her.
You'll never work in comedy. I'm like, you know what? All right.
I started calling her an artist, and that made it personal.
Yeah. Famous last words. I'll show you.
I'm being worked to death. Thank you.
You're making more people happy now than Herman Cain and Michelle Bachman combined.
And you're breaking a lot of records.
Oh, that's so sweet. All right. And as I said, of really, really, well, I don't need to tell anybody listening, of marginal talent. 46, like, whatever. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I want to do bad things.
Yeah.
That show's coming back.
Yeah, it is.
What's
going to be on this year? Leprechauns?
True Blood.
Oh.
That's the theme song to True Blood.
Yeah, sure.
They got to have leprechauns on this season. That's the only thing they haven't had yet.
I want Goblin. You to do bad things with you. They've got a pack of gold. No. And a rainbow.
No, they'd have Cajun accents.
God, Twitter has 140 characters. That's half of what a season of True Blood has.
You know me in TV. If Chris Matthews didn't say it, I didn't hear it.
You used to watch HBO shows, though. You watched The Sopranos. You watched all kinds of things.
I know it. I don't know. My world has gotten smaller and smaller as I've gotten to be, you know, more and more of an elderly shut-in. My world's gotten very tiny.
I respect that.
Thanks. Yeah, now you need to explain everything to me in terms of a blueberry pie story, or I don't understand it.
Exactly.
Oh, the vampire's got the blueberry pie. And the werewolf said, "We want the blueberry pie." The vampire said, "No, we got blueberry pie." And then the maenads and witches come out, and then Suki's a fairy with blueberry pie.
Thank you. Thanks, Daddy.
Little vampire's like redberry pie.
See, it's perfect for me in my old age. I need something really loud that I can hear, and I I'll be like, how does that relate to blueberry pie?
He just explained the first four seasons of True Blood to you in a sentence, so there you go.
All right, John, thanks. Now I get it.
Politics Nation was originally titled Al Sharpton is Shouting at You.
And another thing.
Hearing Aid Nation. Sherry
and Alan Keyes is making sense. I'm shouting about blueberry pie. Francisco Franco was still dead.
Oh. Can I just say, how much did I love that our girl Rachel Maddow was, you know, anchors the election coverage? There's all those boys with those big giant egos there.
Dynamite.
She is so good. Why is she doing this? I am. She talks too quiet. She don't do no analogies about blueberry pie. I can't even hear her. She's sitting right next to me.
I gotta say, Sharpton's great on those, by the way. I mean, I love Lars and Ed, but Sharpton has been so dynamite on those primary coverages.
Oh, yeah. I know. No, I never miss his show. I seriously don't. We kid because literally we love. Exactly.
That show has really found its groove.
Yeah. Sherry, oh my God, did you see yesterday? In fact, see, I'll prove that I watch every day. Mitt Romney's stupid thing about, we can talk about these things in quiet rooms.
Oh, we have that soundbite.
Quiet rooms.
And so Al Sharpton started his show in a quiet room.
It
said on the Chiron in a quiet room. From a quiet room.
It's quiet enough for you.
By the way, no room Al Sharpton is in a quiet room.
That's an impossibility.
This is America. What do you mean we can talk about these? Not in public. We can't talk about these.
Not in public,
things.
No.
No, in quiet rooms.
Only corporations
do we have that?
Are there no fair questions about the distribution of wealth without it being seen as envy, though?
I think it's fine to talk about those things in quiet rooms and discussions about tax policy and the like, but the president has made this part of his campaign rally. Everywhere we go, or he goes, we hear him talking about millionaires and billionaires and executives and Wall Street, and it's a very envy-oriented, attack-oriented approach, and I think it'll fail.
By the way, if Mitt Romney is not hated enough, did that just make you hate him 10 times more?
Yeah.
Anyone that says anything is jealous of me.
Well,
you're just envious.
Me.
Rich douchey people like me.
He's lying so much about Obama. His whole message now is that Obama's a pessimist who talks too much about hope. That's essentially what he's saying. Yeah. I have a question for you, Stephen Mooks.
Yes.
Which of these candidates do you think Barack Obama would be the most excited to debate three times?
I think it's he has an embarrassment of riches. Wow. I think he's sitting in the Oval Office with his feet up, just like.
I think he would absolutely mop the floor with Santorum, but Santorum's not going to get the nomination.
You'll never get it.
I don't know. I think it is an embarrassment of riches. I think any of them. Maybe you're a really scuffed. Yeah, I mean, maybe for this moment in time, John, like we've been talking about them 99% movement and Occupy, Mitt Romney is the. So we couldn't write him a perfect foil.
He's the best debater. I mean, maybe he's the only good debater. I can't tell if Mitt's an amazing debater or if the other ones are just such rank amateurs.
I think that's what it is, and I think the president's going to mop the floor with any of them.
I think that if Obama debated Newt Gingrich, Obama would stick the knife in Newt Gingrich's back, you know, but with a smile.
Yeah, and
Newt Gingrich would just stab in the open.
And as Chris Matthews was saying yesterday, John, he's like, I think the president's going to, you know, get up right in his face and Romney won't be able to handle it.
Yeah.
He'll do a little.
It's probably true because Mitt Romney's just so incredibly insincere that 75% of Republicans hate him. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, they played the tape of how ruffled he got when when Perry came after him and he's like, Anderson! That's his only rebuttal. It's my time. It's my time.
He got ruffled
now.
By Brett Baer. He got ruffled by Brett Baer in a quiet room.
I'm talking now. It's my time.
And Mitt's a great speaker, and he's a great debater. I mean, I just watch these debates in awe of the man. I give him props. He has handled all of these attacks. He makes the others look like amateurs. He's fantastic. But I do think that Obama is just so much more relaxed than human.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sherry in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cher.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good.
I love your show.
We
listen
love
to it every
you.
Morning.
We love you. Well, we see you at the Chicago Theater.
I hope so. I'm still trying to get tickets, but everyone's telling me they're almost sold out.
Yeah, you better hang up from this and go.
Today's the day.
As soon as I'm done with you, why is nobody talking about the Montana Supreme Court that is going up against the Citizens United?
You know why, Sherry? You know why? Because I just went to Montana for Christmas vacation. Everywhere a sexy liberal goes, good things happen. Just saying. Yeah.
Yeah, but nobody's talking about it. The Montana Supreme Court is literally not going with the Citizens United case. They are undermining it. They are making it more detailed. They're not taking the general decision that was taken. And if all the other states go ahead and do this, the Supreme Court is going to have to reconsider this.
Yeah, well, and Sherry, the key is John Fugelsang was just saying that our Republican friends are starting to go, wait a minute. I mean, with all these super PACs, you know, they're starting to see what this is now, right?
Montanans aren't people, my friend.
Yeah, Montanans aren't people anymore.
What is that, Canada?
Yeah, that's so northern. It's almost Canada, isn't it?
Yep. I mean, the Montana Supreme Court has just been defying the U.S. Supreme Court, and they're upholding their own law limiting corporate election spending. Now, if you believe in states' rights, how can you as a conservative not support Montana on this?
Not those rights.
It's the wrong kind of rights. All right. Charles in L.A. Hey, Charles.
Hey, yeah. Well, it turns out that Limbaugh, he's really upset at Gingrich because Gingrich is criticizing Bain Capital, and Bain owns the company that pays Limbaugh.
Yes, that's right. That's a ha-ha. Yeah, that's annoying. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour, back with more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Oh, we will get up this picture of it's me levitating Hal in a doorway backstage
like
in Portland that?
That
John Fugelsang took. It's our backstage shenanigans before Sexy Liberal. All right. And kids, Philadelphia up next, February 4th. Get it going fast. Oh, by the way, John.
Yes.
Bastard people with the scalping sites. We have a breaking news from Roland that those scalping sites are added again in Chicago, making it seem like it's sold out and you can only go here for premium tickets. It is not sold out. Go right to the Chicago Theater Box Office or Ticketmaster. The real links are up at Sexy Liberal Facebook or SexyLiberal.com.
Yep.
Oh, and then they sell them for like four times the... It's just... All right. So anyway, coming up in March, kids.
Progressives of the Great Southwest, prepare to take a left in Albuquerque.
I knew I should have taken that left turn at Albuquerque.
Because by popular demand, the comedy phenomenon that is captivating the nation, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, is making its Albuquerque debut.
That's the kind of bold flavor they enjoy in Albuquerque.
On March 31st, just in time for election year insanity and frivolity, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and the queen of progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, will perform live at Pope Joy Hall on the campus of the University of New Mexico. Tickets are available online at unmtickets.com or by calling 1-877-664-8661. New Mexico, come experience liberal laughs of nuclear proportions.
You said nuclear. It's nuclear, dummy. The S is silent.
Duke City, you can't miss this.
Yeah, get it. And by the way, John pointed out yesterday, Santa Fe, come on over. You didn't get to see Hal last time.
Uh-huh.
But speaking of which, we may have a very, very exciting Aisha Tata Sexy Liberal announcement
what?
Next week.
Uh-huh.
Yes. All right. So lots of exciting stuff going on. Oh, looky here. It's an unsolicited testimonial. Because I'm a job creator thing.
Whatever.
Stimulator.
Well,
Bill, I'm making him stimulate the economy, he says. Dear Mama, I have to ask you to stop getting sponsors that make a high-quality product. First, I bought Sherry's Berries for my mom's 87th birthday. She loved them so much, she bought them for all her friends. A lot of Stephanie's in the box. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then I purchased a year's subscription to Carbonite that saved my, well, let's say, the padded area I sit on. Thank you. After that, I pulled out my credit card, found myself with a soda stream that I find I can drink. Now I find I can't drink anything that doesn't have carbonation in it. Damn, this thing makes a tasty beverage. Why, thank you. The final straw, I found I was 3/4 of the way through the sign-up for GoToMeeting when I realized I had no one I need to go to a meeting with.
Oh,
we'll find somebody. Please stop advertising with such an amazing group of advertisers. Can you please get some of the same sponsors that buy time on Glenn Beck and Rush's show? I know after listening to their shows, I can ignore the products that are on these bags of douche. I thank you. And I thank my wallet. Thanks you. Thank you, Bill. And
wow.
Thank your wallet for me. That's hilarious. All right. Wendy in Chicago on our favorite subject, Al Sharpton. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy
I should
Friday.
Be out shoveling snow, but when you started talking about Al Sharpton, I had to call in. Listen, John Bugelsang, you're right. His show has found its legs, and I have to share testimonial. My teenage daughters have become interested in current politics because of this show,
right.
And it's because the genius of his delivery. For example, yesterday when he started his show in I'm sitting in the quiet room,
yeah.
Both of my daughters came to the TV. My one older daughter, who's almost 17, wants to say, I don't like politics. I'm not interested. Well, because of his delivery of going, no, I'm tired of the quiet room. She's like, wait, what does the quiet room mean? Who said that? What is that? So
awesome.
We went to discussion about Mitt Romney. Mm-hmm. And so I really think for as much as he is a very mockable delivery at times, we love his show.
Yeah. Kids, and you're right, kids don't want, what's his name, Miss Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah,
that's
Ben
a snooze. Al Sharpton makes them pay attention.
Yeah, his delivery is just, and my younger daughter, she does this great imitation of him. However, the imitation she does, there's actual information coming out in her imitation for her friends. So, you know what? My husband's family is from New York. They have their own issues with Al Sharpton. I said, you know what? I'm a sheltered Midwesterner. I don't care about controversy of 20-some years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
I love the man, and I support him, and we watch him every night.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know what? It's his perfect moment in time, Wendy, when someone says democracy should be in quiet rooms.
Yeah.
Al Sharpton's a perfect one to say, what?
What are you talking about?
This is America. We do it at the top of our voices.
That's right.
And I just knew I was waiting for that to come. I'm like, oh, my God, his writers must have had a field day when they heard that Mitt Romney bit.
Yeah, yeah. What's the saying I'm thinking of that I'll mess up about, you know, I can spend my life. That's the whole basis of America. I could spend my life, you know, objecting to what you say at the top of my voice. And it's probably from American President. You know what I'm talking about.
But I'll defend your right to say.
Thank you,
I'll
John
defend your right to eat sand.
Eat sand what? As you crawl towards the...
No.
No?
Now you're messing up my favorite movie. Stop it.
Well.
Adrian in Chicago. Hi, Adrian.
Oh, hi. No, I'm just curious as to why Ron Paul hasn't been mentioned as a viable contender to Barack Obama. I mean, we just said Al Sharpton.
Because Republicans won't pick him. Republicans won't vote for him.
I know. It's a shame. But, you know, I do still think he should be recognized as if he was to be put in front of Barack Obama, he could give him a good run for his money.
I agree.
Well, here's what would happen, Adrian. They would agree on half the things, and then the other half, Ron Paul would look completely crazy.
They wouldn't agree on half the things. Ron Paul's to the left of Obama on the drug war and on war in general,
that's
on
true.
The Afghan involvement. I mean, he is, but the fact is that Ron Paul is just too damn crazy about too many things, and that's the problem. He's like this amazing Swiss watch that's incredibly accurate half the time and crazy as hell the other half. And that's why the GOP is scared of him. And again, Ron Paul's never going to be president, and his libertarian ideals won't work. You can't have every state having different regulations for business.
Right.
It won't happen. No president will get rid of Medicare. They wouldn't do that to their own place in history. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But the fact is, if Ron Paul's not doing well, don't blame the libs. You blame the conservatives. Ron's in the wrong party.
Wow, here's a story about why we need Medicare. This I just, because, you know, if you're having, because a lot of people, I look for people that have had a worse day than you have. This is a bad economy. A lot of people lost their job, their house.
Right.
This is from Jezebel.com. Woman coughs up her own tumor.
Oh, no.
Well, that's save a lot of money on surgery.
There you go. See, you don't need Medicare. I love Jezebel's headline. Oh, my God, this woman coughed up her own tumor.
Tumor?
Tumor. Are you eating right now? If so, please stop before continuing to read. A UK mother of six has been credited with saving her own life and hacking up what turned out to be a tumor.
Wow.
Holy 37-year-old Claire Osborne was just driving along. She felt a tickling sensation at the back of her throat. The tickle escalated into a 5-minute full-on hacking fit that ended with her feeling something dislodge and fly out of her mouth.
Oh! Sure it wasn't a loogie?
Can I have some medical stack music to make this sound a little...
Did she know she had a tumor?
No. I'm getting to it, John Fugelson. Just you wait. Upon examination... What was that? What the hell did I... What did I just do?
When
she discovered...
Eat
when did I have cocktail wieners? When did I eat a Swedish meatball? She discovered it was a tiny strip of liver-colored tissue, which she threw away. The next day, her son was with her when the coughing began anew, but this time the tissue she coughed up was about an inch long and heart-shaped.
Wow.
Concerned that coughing up pieces of her own flesh might mean that there were some medical shenanigans afoot. Osborne took her hackings to her doctor, who performed a biopsy on the tissue. Turns out she had, it was some sort of...
tumor.
Yes, Dr. Language Force, she spat up an aggressive, deadly cancer that probably originated at the back of her mouth.
Holy
they told
crap.
Her she'd need chemo and gave her a 50% chance of survival, but when they scanned her for remaining cancer cells, there were none to be found. She literally hacked up her cancer.
Well,
oh, my God.
She's teach other people how to do that.
Yeah.
Wow.
The medical
establishment
will go nuts.
Story, but
see, a gag reflex is really over.
He wanted to use the chemo on her. Crap.
It's really...
What do we have bald Barbie for? Except to get people...
What good is a gag reflex?
Idea,
not much.
Everyone's going to have friggin' cancer.
Wow, Jim.
That's a happy story, but that's in Chris Lavoie pink sock territory on the gross out meter.
It's happy and disgusting.
No,
Chris,
nothing.
You told me that, and that's the most disgusting
that
thing,
is,
and this is in that ballpark.
Yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
if this is even approaching pink sock.
Well we're the most...
This is happy.
I think we are the most...
But this is a good story, though.
It's delightful story. Combination of happy chemo. And disgusting. Disgusting. That's where you come to our show.
Yes. During breakfast time.
It's half-disgusting.
It's what, Jim?
It's half-disgusting.
Exactly. Stephanie Miller Show.
We're all revolting right. with a smile.
It's like craptastic.
Enjoy your breakfast.
Enjoy. Eat up. All right. Mittens.
What's for dinner?
Mittens yesterday.
Being unemployed for a long period of time means families having a hard time making ends meet.
Or right.
It means that in some cases people... having trouble in their marriages, losing faith, becoming depressed.
Oh, yeah. And I guess you could ask a lot of people this, to work for companies that Bain Capital took over.
Not being a human, I don't understand these things, but I'm told this is what happens.
Yeah, making ends meet.
Even him pushing his perfect marriage in everyone's face is irritating, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're just jealous. You don't know. Look at me. I'm perfect in every way.
Practically perfect, like Mary Poppins. Practically perfect in every way.
Who else has a crease in their jeans?
Yeah, for most people like me with a relationship wreckage in their background. It's just, oh, shut up, you idiot.
Whose fault is that?
Mine, but my point is, stop making me feel worse about myself, you robot.
And who was there with you through it, through most of it?
You.
Uh-huh.
Aww. And Al Sharpton. Pat in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Pat.
I'm calling to defend Al Sharpton.
Defend him? I love him. I watch him every day.
No, but I'm just talking about where you be talking about how loud he is.
Yes.
Isn't that don't you have somebody working the sound?
Yeah. Thank you, Pat. Don't they have somebody working the sound?
I can't turn it any lower.
So it's probably someone like you that's been in radio for too long.
I know.
And has got their headphones turned all the way. This sounds perfect to me.
You're one to talk.
I know.
Yeah.
Chris and I have both been in radio too long. We're both going deep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When you turn your head, you get feedback. Because
I have my headphones all the way up.
Every, 11.
Yeah. That's what an old radio person is running Al Sharpton's sound. I think Pat is absolutely right.
Can I hold the microphone back? How do you feel about Cleveland?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like when I walk into my mom's house and Fox News is just blaring. It's like an airline carrier. I think they based the movie incredibly loud and whatever close on my mom and listening to Fox News every day.
That's how you know that your mom might need to change the battery in her hearing aid.
No, you know the thing? It's like she lives in one of those condo complexes.
Oh.
It's the only way whenever I visit that I find her apartment because I go toward the... Oh, there she is. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. I'm sorry. Snarky Chris in Yankton says what?
Steph's thinking of that quote in The American President where Lillian Gish says, "These are not the droids you were looking for," before escaping across the Alps with Michael Corleone.
Uh-huh. Yep. Right. Thank you. Thanks,
yes.
Chris. Thanks for the help. Thanks for the assist there. Appreciate it. Okay. Yes, and someone else could relate to their parent playing Fox News at, like, a jetliner volume.
Yeah, a jet airliner.
Like my mom. And my mom sits right in front of the tele. Like, really, her nose, I think, is touching... Like Sean Hannity at all times. I think they did do the movie incredibly loud. What is it called?
Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
Yeah, it's based on my mom watching Fox News originally.
In fairness, my dad, before he died, would play MSNBC so loud, Al Sharpton complained about the noise.
Ah, yes. Yes, Jim has a new title for that movie.
Extremely maudlin, incredibly manipulative.
Thank you. Yes, even the promos are starting to irritate me. I'm going to see Iron Lady today.
Oh,
the,
cool.
Yeah, the Meryl Streep, Margaret Thatcher. Oh, Jim, by the way, I've heard it makes her look pretty bad, actually.
Oh, good.
They're already, you know, saying, oh, the liberal blended
whatever.
Thing. Whatever. You know, same thing.
They won't watch it in the north of England and know that much.
But she was so nice, and her policies helped England. Look at how great their economy is now.
All right. Smittens yesterday.
I think any time a job is lost, it's a tragedy.
Oh, yeah.
For the family, for
the
individual that loses a job, it's just devastating.
Because it makes me look
bad. Every time that we invested in a business, it was to try and encourage that business to have ongoing life.
Sure.
The idea of making a short-term profit actually doesn't really exist in business because no one wants to buy something. Or buy stock in a company that's just going to be a short-term success. You want it to be long-term.
Sure. I only do it to help you. Daddy only hurts me more than it hurts you.
Yeah. Mm.
Really does. All right, man.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Did you see his thing with the dog yesterday? The dog likes it. Why, the dog would go up there himself. Does a dog get on the roof of a car? He's such
unless
a liar.
You put him up there. Yeah.
Oh no, he loves it. He loved it. He loved it so much
he crapped all over the car.
Yeah, he used to go up there himself. He loves it. Like, please. Now we're supposed to believe that a dog springs up onto the roof of a car.
Even if the dog loved it. Let's say the dog loved it and the dog just defecated liquid poop because it was happy.
Yeah, it was a happy poop.
Pulled the car over and with the cold efficiency of a corporate buyout specialist,
hosed
the dog down
and
continued on the 10-hour drive.
Yeah, and put him back up there cold, wet, scared. Oh, I know.
While the Louis Vuitton luggage was inside the car.
Safe and warm and happy. Yes.
God.
Which is really the moral of the story.
Typical.
Children and
Batman.
Pay
attention, kid. Puppies on the roof. Louis
Children
Vuitton
and Batman are going to win this election for Obama because every child is going to shame their parents into voting against the dog abuser. And Batman's going to win because this summer Batman fights his nemesis, who was the bad guy in the 90s comics, and his name is Bane. So evil Bane will be on everyone's lips in a few months.
By the way, oh my God, did you see Chris Matthews did the worst thing ever to Romney yesterday? Like that clip we just played with him trying to, you know, fake empathy. He played it next to a clip of Bill Clinton. And you're like,
oh, yes.
You remembered how brilliant Bill Clinton was and that it was real. Despite whatever his faults were, he really...
Oh, I feel your bane, my friend.
It was
Matthews was showing clips of George H.W. Bush in the 92 debates, and he made his son look like Socrates. It was incredible.
And this was the quote everybody was talking about, Matt Lauer and Mitt
Romney.
Are
there no fair questions about the distribution of wealth without it being seen as envy, though?
I think it's fine to talk about those things in quiet rooms and discussions about tax policy and the like, but the president has made this part of his campaign rally. Everywhere we go, or he goes, we hear him talking about millionaires and billionaires and executives and Wall Street. And it's a very envy-oriented, attack-oriented approach, and I think it'll fail.
This guy was born a millionaire.
You're just jealous of me. That doesn't make you hate me anymore, does it? Wow. John Huntsman yesterday.
If you have creative destruction in capitalism, which has always been a part of capitalism, you know, it becomes a little disingenuous to take on Bain Capital.
Is
that what we're calling
He's backing off now.
Creative destruction?
Can we please play Sarah McLachlan's In the Arms of the Angels every time you listen to John Huntsman speak? Because it's so depressing that she's doing commercials for his campaign. Look at us. Please, if you don't act now, John Huntsman's campaign will be euthanized. Help him. John Huntsman is now sucking up to Mitt Romney full time. Watch for more of it.
The Reichstag fire, that was a great
That is a good idea, actually. We're helpers. Because as we've been saying, John, we give, you know, money to sexy liberal causes everywhere we go. And now we're thinking a lot of these dying Republican campaigns that are providing the fodder for the tour might be a better
help the comedian.
I think, listen, Sarah McLachlan, if you're listening, do it.
Spend all your time waiting.
Please. You give
John
just
Huntsman.
3 cents to John Huntsman's
now
campaign.
She can only sing it in Mandarin.
and then sad
pictures of John Huntsman, like in the corner of the debate stage in the dark.
Puppy dog eyes and
those
all of his little forlorn Nirvana references during Republican debates.
His daughters
speaking Mandarin.
All
of his little
speaking Mandarin
culture references no one got.
His desperation. His Ticket to Ride. All his stupid classic rock references.
I'm the Mormon you don't love to hate. Poor guy.
Well, and they could do a picture of the Mittens dog on the roof as well, you know? And really, go hard for the, speaking of manipulative, go hard for the, you know,
you
and pet lover
president
vote.
Who did this?
And if we donated money to him, we get a, would we get a free T-shirt and a wristband?
Look at John Huntsman's big sad eyes and his beautiful pomaded hair. Do you want to see this campaign be put down tragically
no,
soon?
No, no. Give now. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you
Stephanie Miller?
Because my mood ring just like totally changed colors.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to Item Mood Ring. It's really cool. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12.
Do you have a pet rock too?
Lava lamp, lava lamp, beanbag chair. Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi, guys. I can honestly say TGI Fugelsang under 6 inches of snow here in Chicago.
Woohoo!
Aw, shucks. Thank
you. He's a lot more than 6 inches, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, please, don't say me
and
the 6 inches in the same sentence.
It's potent. Mrs. That's... Fugelsang knocked up like nobody's business.
Right. I got you. I wanted to get your guys' take on something. You know, it seems that the media, for whatever reason, does not like Mitt Romney. And, you know...
Because he's unlikable. He just
it's
is.
It's not just the media. Republicans.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing there. You know, as opposed to 2000, where it just, for whatever reason, the media just did not like Gore. And if they did their job, Bush wouldn't have made it out of Texas because he sucked
Amen.
At white.
Right.
Yep. You know what, Mike, that's actually a really good bipartisan analogy. I think you're absolutely right. It is, and I felt like it was unfair with Al Gore, but you're absolutely right. He was stiff. He's like, oh, he's too smart, Mr. Smarty Pants. It was just that kind of visceral dislike that I think you're right they have for Romney.
Right, and, you know, it just seems like, you know, I feel a little better about, what the election might hold, you know, compared to 6 months ago, because it just seems, you know, the more you see Romney, the less you like of him. So.
Yeah, I mean, with Al Gore, though, Mike, that's what I was always saying. It was unfair because it was he never said he invented the Internet. It's just it's amazing how you can take one thing and it can kill you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, look, they killed John Kerry with one statement about I voted for it before I voted against it, which was, you know, granted, a stumble. But Mitt Romney is the biggest flip-flopper in the history of politics.
Yeah.
You know, John Kerry misspoke once, and that was it, right,
Tom? And he didn't even misspeak. What he was saying was, yeah, I supported the Iraq war until I realized what a racket it was.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he was saying, like most America and most Republicans, I might add.
You know
but
why
the
you...
thing is, we're going to be also hung up on the presidential race, and I think at this point the GOP's realizing they're just going to have to throw this fight, and if we hype up the presidential race and ignore the Senate, we're at our own peril, because if Barack Obama gets in but there's a GOP Senate, we're in big trouble.
Yeah.
And to me, the Senate's 10 times more important than the presidential campaign.
You know why you get that?
Why do I get that?
Because you're a sexy liberal.
Oh, yeah.
Sing it.
Boy.
What?
Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah.
Sexy liberal.
Stephanie Miller Show. I be like Steph. Yo, can you teach me how to sexy? I'm kind of rough and my hair kind of messy. My pants are cuffed and my shirt kind of scruffy. I need help, mama. Please, you told me that you love me. She said, yo, you a sexy liberal. She gave me 2 tickets front row to the show. Said, I love how you do your thing with John Fugelsang. How sparks get more booty than Booty Tang. Ooh, wee, man, got a thing for Aisha. Pay a little extra just to meet ya and greet ya. Stephanie Miller, man, if looks could kill her, man, there'd be a bunch of dead black men and some lesbian. But I said, no, I don't regret it. The sexy liberal show, that's where I'm headed. And then Chris come in on my podcast, yo. I'm the official rapper of the Stephanie Show. Ooh, sexy liberal. Ooh, Stephanie Miller Show.
Let's go. Box one. Here we go.
Stephanie Miller Show.
It's color.
Box one. Fart joke.
I thoroughly.
Fart joke.
Examine.
Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the video is awesome. Everybody said their favorite part is when he spits out the wine.
Yeah, at the end.
You know what?
dig that.
And can I just say, damn, he is sexy, the official sure rapper of the Stephanie Miller Show, Macaroni.
Would you turn straight for him?
I think I just did.
He's sexy. Anyone who can rhyme Fugle
That's
Sang
how it's
with
done, Marcus.
Tang.
Pardon me?
Fugle Sang and Booty Tang.
Yeah, there you go.
I think you just ovulated.
I think I did.
Whoa.
And those things have been dusty for a while now. All right. They're juicy again because of Macaroni. Greg in Houston. Hi, Greg.
Mama, where can I find my Mitt Romney mittens and flip-flops?
Yeah, hi, UI. Oh. That's funny.
Well, the good thing is the mittens are reversible.
Hi, the reversible mittens look good. Keith in Milwaukee.
We're here. Hey, guys. You know, I think the thing that through this Romney thing, I think, is the marvelous opportunity to bring this conversation up about the impact of wealth in America. But I think the thing that liberals and progressives have to bring up is that we're not against capitalism. We're against pornographic capitalism. I mean,
yep.
I mean, Mitt to capitalism is like...
That's even better than vulture capitalism, Keith. You're the smartest boy in class.
Yeah.
You're right.
Thank you. Yeah. I earned a ding.
Yeah.
They complain about Hollywood stars making a lot of money, but how many people has Brad Pitt been put out of work cut their pensions? I mean, look at how much people admired Steve Jobs, and a lot of those people who did happen to be liberals and progressives.
Right. Yeah. That's the other thing. It's like we're not against free enterprise or capitalism. You make great products like Apple, and they sell like crazy, and you treat your workers fairly.
But
everybody
you
wins.
Make profit by dismantling businesses and sending the jobs
destroying
overseas.
People's lives.
Yeah.
We honor business innovation and creativity, but we dishonor sleazy practices that hurt the American people.
Wow. Speaking of which, hey Jim, I got a Jim Dandy. Guess the quote for you today. Who said if General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler get the bailout that their chief executives asked for yesterday? This was in November 2008. You can kiss the American automotive industry goodbye. It won't go overnight, but its demise will be virtually guaranteed. Who said that?
Willard the Rat Romney.
You're not supposed to.
Oh, sorry,
that
I got it wrong.
Correct.
Right.
Yes, in his op-ed, Let Detroit Go Bankrupt. Gosh, you'd have to normally be Bill Kristol to be this wrong about anything. With a little dollop of Dick Morris. Who said a managed bankruptcy may be the only path to the fundamental restructuring the industry needs? It would permit the companies to shed excess labor, pension, and real estate costs. In a managed bankruptcy, the federal government will propel newly competitive and viable automakers rather than seal their fate with a bailout check. Who said that?
Rip Kaler!
No, it was actually Willard Mitt Romney in his stunningly inaccurate...
It is Rip Taylor's birthday today.
Super.
Wow.
Super.
Yeah, I share my birthday with Rip Taylor.
Well, I share mine with
and Charles...
Ho Chi Minh and Pol Pot
awesome.
And Pete Townsend.
I share mine.
Who? Okay.
I share mine with Charlie Sheen. I don't want to hear nothing out of y'all.
John in New York. Is this the artist formerly known as Jan and Amherst?
Yeah, it's me. How you doing, guys?
Hi, Jan.
Hey, listen, it's very, very cold here today.
Oh, dear.
It
means global warming isn't happening.
Does that happen in Buffalo?
No, well, of course. I'm just mentioning, giving you the ad hoc weather. Hey, listen, you brought it up again. I was on last week, and we talked about the bailout of General Motors.
Uh-huh.
And no one
Which has been a spectacular failure, much like Mitt Romney predicted, right?
Well, wait a minute, though, Steph. No one's answered the question about the $40 billion that we lent to Allied, which was the General Motors Acceptance Corporation. See?
John,
no
you...
No,
God bless you with that little point of yours.
The part of the General Motors or corporation.
Uh-huh. Right. John, pretty much Republicans have admitted that the auto rescue was a great idea. And
Ally Bank has nothing to do with General Motors anymore. Ally Bank has nothing to do with General Motors anymore, John.
Well, that's right, because $40 billion was abrogated from that. The bondholders took it in the butt because they did. They were told that you're going to have to eat it because they were associated with the banks.
John, so the auto industry being back number one in the world, paying us back with interest, that's not a success.
What about the $40 billion that is still owed from Allied?
Oh, you're so small picture. I love it. He takes one little. You know what? He cherry picks just like Romney does. He just takes, like, you know, the.
Well, we all cherry pick. It's just some of us don't do it to justify evil.
The The Vietnam War was a spectacular success because now there's a real Hilton in Hanoi.
Yeah. He just takes a little cherry picks
one
little
one.
Hey, everybody.
Billions were lost in Iraq. He's not mad about it.
Look who's calling. It's the official rapper of the Stephanie Miller Show, Macaroni.
Hey Macaroni.
Hey, Macaroni.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
how you guys doing?
You are one sexy mother... Can I just say that? Do you mind?
Oh, not as sexy as you. You can say it, though.
Not as sexy as you.
That was...
What's up, guys?
You saw all the loving you got online, right?
Absolutely. I got the sexy liberal bump, and I felt I had to call up here and just say thank you to all you guys. And thank you, of course, Steph, and thanks, John, for playing it for everybody and getting them to listen, because I don't think anybody would have ever heard it without that.
Aww.
And I just want to say thanks, man. It's awesome. I'm a big fan.
Macaroni.
I love you guys, and it's cool.
Now, wait a minute. So you live, because I wrote to you, and you live in L.A. John, I'm thinking, who could possibly open for us, I wonder, in L.A., the Big Pantages. The Big Pantages show.
That sounds awesome. I would love to.
All right.
I would love to. I would totally be down for that. And so, yeah, that would be awesome. Let's hook it up.
All right. Let's hook it up. All right, honey.
Yeah.
Let's put him on hold so we get his phone number.
I've got your digits, as they say in the rap community.
Absolutely. I want to say one thing, too, to everybody out there. Thank you. And I also want to say to Young MC, don't try it, man. Don't try it. I'll just take my claim as the official rapper of the Stephanie Miller Show, and I will go Newt Gingrich on you.
we've started a West Coast, not-so-West Coast rap war between Young MC and...
Absolutely.
West Coast, slightly east of West Coast.
We'll take that.
You know what, honey?
We'll take that.
Dreams can come true for a lame-ass white girl from Buffalo. Let me tell you what.
All right. Or a black dude from California. Let me tell you.
All right, baby. Thank you, baby.
Right,
there he goes.
You
too, man. Oh. I've got his info.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Don't worry about
all right,
it.
Good.
His digits, as they
all
say.
Right, cool.
Well, he technically will be opening for Jim, Chris, and Rebecca, who will then be opening for John.
Uh-huh. Wow,
yes,
Jim, we have an opening act. We are not the opening act. Wow.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. I would hurry. That's, when is that? July 28th. Now that I bet you those tickets are going to be
I'm going to be 2 hours now. In that case.
All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like it?
It's brilliant.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Ooh, talked up a tumor. 49 years.
Oh,
this is not a tumor. Of any kind.
A heart-shaped tumor.
It's a dreamer.
That's an earlier story. You don't want to hear that again. 49. It's after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Mary in North Carolina. Hi, Mayor.
Hi. How are you this
Good.
Morning?
Go ahead.
Listen, earlier that you played a quote from Mitt Romney, and he talked about how you wouldn't invest in a company that didn't have, you know, that didn't pay good dividends in the stock market.
Right.
Well, I got news for him. We Americans are sick and tired of listening to wealthy people like that talk about companies that only pay out stock. There are
right.
plenty of companies yep. in America that people are willing to work for that don't have stock. And I'm sick and tired of listening mm-hmm. to them talk about the only jobs they can create are based on stock.
Right.
Yeah.
Not true.
Yeah.
Really good point.
They don't
Mary.
Make anything. They manufacture mm-hmm. nothing.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
Exactly.
Good point,
Mary. You know, we want to get back to work. We want to do what we know how to do. We're hardworking, talented people. We're willing to get our hands dirty.
That's right.
And, you know, Mitt Romney doesn't know that. He's never gotten his hands dirty.
Yeah.
You know, if he ever did get near a pink slip, he'd wash his hands as soon as he got near it. He doesn't know anything about that stuff.
Oh, I accidentally got some foie gras in my hands in France one time.
All right. Mary, you are the smartest girl in class this morning. All right?
Yay!
Yay! Yay!
Yeah, thanks for raising the bar on us.
Yay! Yeah, I think Marcus Bachmann has worn a lot more pink slips than Mitt Romney's ever seen. Because, okay.
I'm super. Thanks for asking.
Okay, good. What hat goes with a pink slip?
A pink pillbox hat. Like
Jackie.
It's like Jackie O.
Well, that is super. That is just super. What was Marcus doing, I wonder?
I'm super!
No, I miss him.
Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super. Nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Pillbox hat.
I don't think he's being so super right now because he'll never be first lady.
Yeah, exactly. My girlfriend Lisa's like, I like him. He just seems like he'd be really fun to be married to. He's like a cuddly bear.
Marcus?
Yeah.
That'd be great. Oh, honey,
it's every girl wants to marry her gay best friend. I mean, why not? All right. Nudie, frankly. Yeah. On the Bain stuff.
That's not an attack on capitalism. That's not an issue about the whole capitalist system. That is a question about a very particular style of activity involving a very particular person.
Go little attack
muffin.
He was
never angry about his entire life until now.
Mm-hmm. He said, when you have crony capitalism and politicians taking care of their friends, that's not free enterprise, that's backdoor socialism. Go, Nudie! Go, Muffin!
Muffin? Muffin.
He's Muffin.
Attack Muffin. He's like a muffin with teeth.
And there's some counter pressure among the elites about raising questions, but let me tell you, the American people have the right to know. And people who are going to run for high office have an obligation to be transparent and available to the American people.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. The headline is Gingrich pulls back on Romney attacks. But as I said, because he knows, because of Citizens United and the super PAC, he doesn't have to.
Right.
They're
going to
be putting these ads out.
Mm-hmm. And he's not anti-corporate. He's anti-human being, and corporations are human beings.
He stuck to a largely subdued stump speech during two events yesterday, yesterday in South Carolina. He made no references to Romney in that speech, nor repeated his criticisms. But again, you know, that's why these attacks drew blood. That's why they know they don't need to. Now they don't. It doesn't matter if they stop saying it now, right?
You're right. Yeah, he's a wounded Romney, and Newt Gingrich has accidentally helped the middle class.
No. he said, if I win South Carolina, I think I will become the Republican nominee. As I was saying, I hate to say it, but negative stuff apparently does work. He's tied with Mitt Romney in South Carolina now. He's closed the gap.
Beautiful.
People are always decrying negative campaigns, but it always works.
Yeah.
Well, not always. I mean, it sure didn't work in Iowa for Howard Dean and Dick Gephardt tearing each other apart, and that's how John Kerry won.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're going to see a lot of that happen, but a lot of these guys are going to be afraid to attack Romney because they all want to be in a cabinet position or have a great speech at the convention. Newt's not afraid of that.
The more recent example, though, they're using, John, is the Democratic primary with, that was a really competitive primary, but that's, you know, strengthened the candidate for the difference is they were two spectacular candidates.
Right.
I'm sorry, that's why that was so competitive, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the Democratic primary, which got twice the number of turnout in Iowa as the Republicans did this year, that was an embarrassment of riches. This is just an embarrassment of rich bitches. That's all the GOP race is.
Exactly. Well said, John Fugelsang. You know, I often think that he writes things in advance. I have a suspicion.
What?
I have a suspicion.
No.
I do.
That was not written in advance, and normally I steal them in advance. From the Blue Comedy album. The blue collar comedy tour.
All right.
I steal all my jokes from them.
Yeah. Rick Santorum.
Aren't you looking for someone as president you can trust? What would give you the idea that someone who has changed his position on almost every single issue is someone you can trust?
Aw, Frothy's going back to the old flip-flopper thing, because he doesn't want to get on the anti-Bain bandwagon. This is just one puss headline after another. Perry backs off vulture attack on Romney and Bain. Oops, too late.
Aw.
His address to 40 diners at the Lizard's Thicket. Oh, that's my favorite diner.
Lizard's Thicket.
Lizard's Thicket?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Boy.
Authored a healthy helping of anti-Obama rhetoric with a side of swipes at the insiders who are running for the presidency. But he did not repeat the vulture capitalism saying. Rick Perry yesterday, though.
I love capitalism. I mean, free market capitalism in the state of Texas has created over 1 million jobs.
Yeah.
We understand how capitalism needs to work.
Minimum wage.
But this corrupt and fraudulent activity that's been going on in Washington, D.C., between them and Wall Street has to stop.
We just use Lizard's Thicket capitalism. That's different from vulture capitalism.
Dead man walking.
Yeah, with Romney, you'll have no job. With Rick Perry, you'll have a Whataburger job. So.
Yeah.
Nice minimum wage job. Yeah, didn't we actually do the story that was last week that unemployment is actually way up in Texas?
Yeah.
Over time, he's actually lost jobs in Texas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, his whole record is...
And one-third of those jobs are government jobs.
Both of their job creator claims, him and Romney's are a bunch of... Hooey.
Well, hooey, yes. And it's their job killer lies that are the biggest issue. Obama has created more jobs in 3 years than Bush did in 8. Fact. period. And when Mitt talks about how Obama lost 2 million jobs, he's right. Obama did lose those 2 million jobs after Bush left office and before Obama enacted the stimulus. The stimulus turned it all around. We were losing almost a million jobs a month when Bush left, and that's what Obama inherited. So, yeah, he lost 2 million. Then he created more in the last 3 years than Bush could in eight.
Yeah, that's right. Perry said, the fact is this process is about winnowing out individuals and testing whether or not they're a flawed candidate or not. And I will tell you, when people can point to where you made a quick profit and kick people out of their jobs, that's an issue that's got to be addressed. Yay! Yay, little dumber boy! Yeah, that's the problem for Romney. This is pretty easily understandable in this economy and unemployment rate that, you know, it was people like him that contributed to it. Larry in Buffalo. Hello.
Hello. I wanted to say that Bain Capital, calling what Bain Capital did a free market is like calling the Somali pirates entrepreneurs. It's technically true, but you don't want them near where you work.
Wow, good one. Good one. Thank you.
It's true.
We have the smartest kids in class.
Mm-hmm. You do.
You playing? All right, little dumber boy, Rick Perry.
I've always been a candidate that believed that it's unconstitutional for the government to be forcing individual mandates. He's been for all of those before. Mitt Romney, I guess, is the anti-Rick Perry candidate, that's for sure.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's
tough words. That's really weak.
They played that clip again of Britt Baer asking him about the mandate. He's like, well, I'll say it again. This is an unusual interview. Why there's some sort of questions.
People are actually asking me questions.
More Republicans saw Hedwig and the Angry Inch than voted for Rick Perry in the answer.
58 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays at Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is. Why? It's Chris LeBoy's birthday.
Aww.
And it's Friday's the Bugle Sang.
Happy Friday the 13th.
Yep. Up in here. It's Chris's birthday up in here.
Go show.
All right.
It's your birthday.
What?
We're going to party like it's your birthday.
What?
We're going to sip a party like it's your birthday.
All right. And then we'll bring it down from there.
Okay.
It's your birthday.
StephanieMiller.com.
That's not my name.
Website. SexyLiberal.com, the website. Oh, do we have the picture of me levitating Hell Sparks backstage at Portland Sexy Liberal?
It's up awesome. At your Facebook page.
Awesome. All right. John, I announced today, this is incredible. Our fans are just incredible. We are still the number one comedy album in the country. You can go to Amazon or iTunes. And I believe I mentioned it in Chicago show yesterday, and we just became the highest grossing show in the history of the comedy show in the history of the Chicago theater. There are still tickets available, though, because now those damn scalping sites are going up. Don't go to scalping sites. Go to sexyliberal.com or sexyliberal on Facebook, or go right through Ticketmaster. You can go right to the Chicago theater for that one. And the one up next, by the way, no New York or DC show anytime soon because so you got to go to, you know where you're
Philadelphia.
Going. Yeah.
We progressives hold these truths to be self-evident, that all sexy liberals are created equal, and that we are endowed by the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, laughter, and the pursuit of silliness. On February 4th, 2012, the comedy tour that is taking the country by storm will perform live at the Merriam Theater, featuring John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and the tastiest of all tasty cakes, Stephanie Miller.
Yummy!
Tickets are available online at KimmelCenter.org or by calling 215-893-1999.
999.
Philadelphia, come show your favorite progressives some of your brotherly love. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour on February 4th at the Merriam Theater. Philly, these liberals will be sure to ring your Liberty Bell.
Thank you, Philadelphia.
Love it's sexy, huh?
All right. Yeah, because we're pretty much booked out for the rest of the year because it's a month or so extravaganza. Why? Because it's the tour that's slowly killing mama.
Yeah.
All right. It took me about 3 days. I don't know what happened, John, whether it was a particularly robust teabagging demonstration, but I was nursing a fair amount of bruises and contusions.
Well, you had a bruise on your chin.
On my chin. Well, I think it was a self-inflicted microphone injury from a joke.
Can I explain something here for a second? At every show, I try to get to the theater very early to make sure that Stephanie has a very, very well-placed staircase to lead her down to the front row where she copulates with the first two Lucky Rose of VIPs.
Yes, yes.
But every time, and I'm going to say this now, you don't take my staircase back up.
No.
I put a staircase there for you, but you don't do that.
No, I vault over that like I'm 20.
I scream at these union guys to put a damn staircase with glow tape on it, but Mama doesn't do that.
No.
Mama likes to actually jump back onto the stage from the orchestra pit.
Sometimes over giant speakers as well.
In low-waisted jeans, I might
say. Usually onto big muscle bears.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that the chin contusion from the microphone was me doing the Michelle Bachman and the Iowa Corn Dog demonstration. You know how she's doing.
Yeah,
I know. I'm going to lose a tooth at one of these shows.
Microphones are notoriously not soft.
No.
So,
yes.
You might want to watch your teeth.
Okay.
Pop screen only goes so far.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, let's see. Let's do some crime stack. Why not? Indiana car theft suspect threatens to eat police. Now, that's you don't hear that every day.
Wow. Unless you're Godzilla, that seems like a hollow threat.
Right? Or Mothra.
Yeah.
Alternatively. Police say a man in Indiana accused of stealing a car threatened to hunt down and eat his arresting officers, their families, and police dogs. Are you going to ask, was there alcohol involved?
Oh, eating the police dogs is too much.
Was there alcohol involved?
Yes,
there was. Yes, there was.
Shockingly. Sounds like there was acid involved.
He had three times the blood alcohol level that is legal.
Wow.
In Indiana.
Wow. Well, I can handle eating the cops and their children, but the dogs is just, that's cruelty to animals.
Yes.
I don't like that.
Exactly.
Very inappropriate.
I bet you Mitt Romney would go easy on him is all I'm saying. Okay. And then, the smoking gun brings this woman seeking crack cocaine calls police after drug dealer sells her sugar instead. Smoking gun, really? How many times do we have to say this? If your drug dealer shorts you, steals your money, and provides a substance other than the illegal one you sought, do not call 911.
Right.
This is a public service. X stole my Y drugs. No, don't.
Yeah. Computer says no.
No.
That person deserves to be in jail.
All right. Hey, look, it's Seamus in Washington,
Seamus!
It's Randy Rhodes' fault! Okay. Yes, hi, Seamus. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I called in before. A couple things. Screener. Number one is, I don't know if you've seen the new ad Romney has up now saying how his Bane created Staples and Steel Dynamics and all that other stuff. But, of course, that's a lie. That's a complete separate company.
Yep.
There's Bane and there's Bane Capital. The other thing is I'm tired of hearing this vulture capitalism stuff because it's unfair to vultures. Vultures serve a purpose.
Yeah, yes. There you go. Exactly. They're in the food chain, at least. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Oh, dear. The drug-addled gas bag. Not happy.
Republican primary attacks on Romney during his time at Bain Capital. If Romney were parroting me, he would have the nomination sewn up.
Oh,
I see a little campaign, free campaign advice from,
Wow.
All right, Eric Bowling on Fox and Friends, to Newt Gingrich.
Mr. Speaker, you are attacking the essence of capitalism. Venture capitalism is taking risk. Look, the Bain Capital took risk on companies that likely may have failed had they not taken the risk.
No, that is incorrect. Mm-hmm. I have to say, when Rick Perry and Newt Gingrich describes it more accurately, we are really in trouble.
Oh, God. No, the GOP is in trouble.
Yeah.
His work at Bain Capital was the entrepreneur equivalent of being a Florida condo flipper. That's what he did.
Yes. Thank you, John. That's a Florida reference. That's where John's mommy lives.
I just got back yesterday.
Yeah. Dick Morris and Bill O'Reilly.
47% of the voters under 30 voted for Ron Paul.
Yeah, because they want legalized marijuana.
No.
Yes,
no,
that's why.
No.
Look, have you ever been to Dartmouth?
Yes.
You got to smoke pot to go there.
It's not that. It's that they really buy into the whole libertarian capitalist
whatever
thing.
It is. Believe me, South Carolina is not going to be anywhere near that for Paul.
South Carolina's not going to what, did he say?
Be anywhere near that for Paul.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they don't go for pot-smoking Dartmouth hippies.
Yeah,
right.
Well, let's again
like
keep
Republicans
in mind.
Like Republicans in New Hampshire do.
Right.
Yeah, let's keep in mind that Dick Morris has always been wrong about everything ever in the history of everything.
Yeah.
Except when he told Bill Clinton that going to the right would get him reelected.
Yeah, well, that was the last time.
Let's not forget who was whispering in his ear about DOMA.
Yeah. Don Imus and Martha McCollum.
I was watching O'Reilly last night. I see you, and what's the guy's name? He's trying to,
Steve Doocy.
I like him.
Yes.
Yeah, he's great.
So, but last night he was talking about, I think with Dick Morris. He's creepy, don't you think?
No comment.
He is. He's the creepiest. He really is.
There are black female college athletes that cheered Imus for that joke.
Yeah. Martha McCollum again on Fox News.
Billionaire businessman Warren Buffett says that rich people like him should just pay more in taxes. Well, with regard to his tax rate,
what?
He's feeling guilty about it. Why don't you just send him a check? Why isn't he talking about a flat tax rate? And you know, it makes it sound like, you know, perhaps he would be supporting somebody like Rick Perry if what he really wants to do is make taxes fair across the board.
Can I tell you how sick I am of that idiotic argument? Why don't you just send a check to him? He just have the money if he wanted.
And this is a straight newsreader on Fox News offering opinions like that.
Conversation about taxes in America. It's just, it's like, it's such a stupid juvenile. Well, go ahead and send an extra check then if you want.
And another thing, well, why don't you pay more money if you think you pay?
Okay. Charles Gasparino to close out on Fox Business Channel.
This administration, I think, this is not a political statement. You know, people tend to suggest that the Fox Business Network doesn't, or the Fox Network does not do reporting. We do lots of reporting.
Oh.
And this is a real, I'm a reporter. This is a real statement. This administration is basically blowing out anybody of moderation.
Okay.
This is maybe the most extreme administration.
Switching gears to an...
If only. I wish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do these guys know any angry liberals? Do they know? The amount of liberal hate I get for defending Obama is stunning. The real socialists hate Obama more than the people who call him socialist.
Right.
By the way, I think this has to go to John McCain for the most ridiculous defense of Mitt Romney and Bain Capital. McCain discussed what he sees as the alternative to the way Bain does business, communism. There's only those are the only two choices.
Right.
Bain's kind of capitalist, or else it's communism. Yes.
He said keep
everybody in business, keep every industry, no matter how bad it is, and that's what communism is, and unfortunately it doesn't work.
Who's this genius?
Oh, my God. John McCain.
Oh, okay. You know, it's that black or white mentality that Republicans are famous
that's
for having.
That's the only way to practice capitalism, or else you're...
shades of gray whatsoever.
If you're against crime, you're a communist.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, Rudy Giuliani, a close second. He was on Fox and Friends saying, he said, Gingrich and Perry's attacks were reflective of a total ignorant populist view of the economy that was proven incorrect with the Soviet Union and Chinese communism.
Oh, Soviet populism, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Chinese communism.
What Chinese communism?
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
They own half of our debt because we had to have a war in Iraq we didn't have to have.
By the way, let's keep in mind that Rudy Giuliani is kind of been in the private equity business himself.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yes.
And number two, he took $1.1 million from hedge funds and private equity firms in the first three fundraising quarters in 2007, more than any other candidate.
What's your point?
You're despicable.
That's my point.
He made a lot of money off of what happened in this city.
Yeah, he said, I'm outraged about what he and Rick, who is a very close friend of mine, I'm shocked what they're doing. It's ignorant, dumb. It's building something we should be fighting in America, ignorance of the American economic system, playing on the dumbest, most ridiculous ideas about how you grow jobs. You get rid of venture capital and private equity. You get rid of risk-taking, which is what it's about, risk-taking. Romney was a risk-taker.
Risking other people's lives.
Right.
Newt Gingrich is finally destroying his career in the GOP for telling the truth.
I know. What beauty.
Yeah.
All right, 17 minutes after the hour, Celebrity Stack. Much more as we continue Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. Maria in Chicago is a Steph head. Wait, where is she? Hang on a second. There she is. Hey, Maria, welcome.
Hi, Steph.
How are ya?
I am so good, and I am so happy that it's Friday, but I'm calling to tell you, I must confess a bit of stalkerism on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming to my third sexy liberal show, my third sexy liberal city.
Which one? Chicago?
Chicago.
Chicago,
yes.
March 3rd. Get it. Going fast. Thank you, Mario. Where have you been before?
Buffalo and Detroit. Detroit, as we like to call it.
Detroit. You are are an official Steph head. Congratulations.
So I am.
You've seen Aisha and Hal.
I have.
Yo. We will have some exciting Aisha news next week, I believe. Yahoo.
Ooh, I will be tuning in for that. But, yes, I've seen all kinds of sexy up on that stage. And I'm also calling to say, and not to sound dramatic, but the Sexy Liberal album has healed my life.
Oh, and how so?
Just I listen to it when I'm, you know, doing dishes and laughing and trying to stay sane. And if I've ever had the misfortune of hearing Rush Limbaugh's voice, I just turn it on and instantly I'm cured.
It's the cure for Rush Limbaugh. All right. Thank you, Mario. We appreciate it.
Love you guys.
All right. Love you. Hopefully we're working on Roland. Where are those Stephead T-shirts? I mostly just talk to him over the radio.
Yeah, he just skittered on the linoleum just about now.
Yeah, he's very high strung. he's easily spooked.
Yeah.
Lynette in Minneapolis.
Yeah, what was that?
Oh, air.
Okay. Hey, Lynette.
Hey, you guys. I wanted to wish Chris a happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, Lynette.
Woo! And I'm so excited. John Fugelsang's coming to Minneapolis, so I want to meet him.
Oh, yes.
And you know, we have a mutual friend, Frank Conniff, so I hope we can get together, maybe. I couldn't afford the high cost tickets because I am one of the Americans on food stamps.
Oh,
wait
a minute. We're talking about the Blue State Ball. John, you're going, right?
I'm going, yeah.
Tomorrow.
I have to ask you for pointers. I know nothing about it, Steph. I've never been before.
Oh, it's awesome. I'm sorry I have to miss it this year, but John Fugelsang going in my stead. And
I'm going
say...
in her stead, and I'm wearing her clothes for it.
Yes.
So
I'm going to miss you, Stephanie, but I guess I'll have to settle for John Fugelsang.
You'll have to suffer through me.
Listen, there's no settling where John Fugelsang
is stealing half
involved.
Of Steph's act.
I had to tell you really quick that I was holding up a guy who looked like Mitt Romney with my food stamps the other day because he was having a hard time operating the card. He was getting really flustered, and I got the idea. I thought, hey, maybe this is how we can get maybe some of the one percenters to inconvenience them in some way, get in front of them in a line somewhere at the grocery store with your food stamps, and they get really upset about it. So
yeah, exactly. All right, Lynette, give John a grope for me.
I will.
Tomorrow night. All right.
You.
All right. Okay.
It's
going to be cold. Snuggle. I'm sending John
Fugelsang
to spoon with you.
In one week, I will have gone from Portland to Orlando to New York to Minneapolis.
Whoa.
And, yes, but I'm playing with Ed Schultz will be there and Bill Press as well. So I'm looking forward to being on stage with those two guys. And
awesome.
Congressman Keith Ellison, who came to see us at the State Theater last June.
Yeah, he is so awesome. I love Keith Ellison. All right. By the way, it's all over now, isn't it? John Bolton is backing Mitt Romney.
Oh,
crazy ass.
We can all go
warmonger, John Bolton with the crazy ass mustache.
Yes, he's going to be Secretary of Decorum.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, have I ever mentioned that he's crazy?
No. Secretariat building in New York has 38 stories. If you lost 10 stories today, it would make a bit of difference. This kind of mindless creation of the United Nations as something different from what it's in the United States' interest to do isn't going to sell here or anywhere else. The only question, for the United States is what's in our national interest. And if you don't like that, I'm sorry, but that is the fact.
When asked if Romney is conservative enough for him, Bolton said only one GOP presidential hopeful met his test as the ideal conservative, but he decided not to run. I guess he was referring to himself. See, an ideal conservative meaning wanting to blow up as many countries as possible as quickly as we can possibly get to it. He said, I followed the William F. Buckley test, which is to find the most conservative candidate who is capable of getting elected.
The William F. Buckley test involves a milkshake, which brings all the boys to the yard.
We don't know where that started. We just like it. We just like it. William F. Buckley singing.
Milkshake.
Yes.
Did William F. Buckley die before that song actually came out?
Yes,
is this from Beyond the Grave?
Did
we
he?
Don't care. We don't care. We have not stopped
no,
doing Kim Jong-il.
Alive I think he was still alive when that song came out.
Yeah.
He, just
he
died
presumably
very
could have
That's
sung
true.
It, John. He could have.
He could have. Well, I think I look forward to William F. Buckley debating Kim Jong-il from the afterlife.
Yeah.
Oh.
Listen, dying is no
Hitchens
impediment to
moderating.
Our... Exactly, to our comedy bits. David, and I whip out that Katharine Hepburn at a moment's notice.
That's right.
David in Chicago. Hi, David.
Hi, Mama.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Just wanted to say hello. Thank you very much for doing the show. Looking forward to you coming to Chicago.
March 3rd. Mm-hmm. Better hurry. Why are we both talking in this annoying voice?
I wanted to know if I could sign up as the amateur psychologist of the Southern Illinois
please,
show.
Please, boy howdy.
I would be more than happy to point out that people with sociopathic tendencies tend to abuse animals, mm-hmm. and they yep. have absolutely no qualms whatsoever. They have no morals when it comes to the abuse of other living creatures, including people. They send jobs overseas.
Yep.
They gut companies. And then they lie about it.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's human.
It's sociopathy. It's, I mean, it's, he keeps claiming that, you know, it's something that capitalists do.
Yeah.
If you look at some of the top corporate executives, a lot of them have sociopathic tendencies.
Yeah, exactly.
Nudge a person growing up one way, you get somebody like Ted Bundy.
Yep.
Nudge them the other way, you get somebody like Scooter Libby or mm-hmm. any number of other corporate executives.
Yep.
All right, thanks a lot.
Yep. All right. Oh, thank you. Oh, no, he'll take no further questions. He's done now. Thank you.
He'll
yeah.
listen for your answer off the air.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Phil writes, Mitt and the whole envy thing, that anyone that disagrees with him is just envious. Mitt must think that the only problem with slavery was that slaves were envious of their masters.
Ah,
yes, thank
yes
you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're just jealous. It's because I live in the big house. Okay. Just when I think he can't get more irritating, he does, yeah. Mitt Romney. All right, he's readying his Bane counterattack. We'll tell you what it is as we continue. 29 minutes after the hour, back with more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Smell that? Something's on fire. Oh, it's you!
Stephanie Miller.
You're smoking!
It's not a this compliment. It's about me lighting my ass on fire on the toilet, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know, she did that, John.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Well, a match fell on something.
She lit a match after a particularly potent...
And I fell on the toilet paper and it lit my ass on fire.
Dry toilet paper in the toilet bowl and she lit her ass on fire.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
All right.
Well, that happens all the time, doesn't it? Mm. Yeah, that's normal.
Okay, 1-800. That's how I know my friend Trish loves me. She brought me some drops yesterday that you put in before, and then you don't need to use matches. Hmm. All right. That's my friend Trish. That whenever I say John Fugelsang, she makes that noise.
Squeak.
Oh, Trish. Come to me, Trish.
Oh, dear.
Oh, by the way, Chris, you're right. Dana Lash is now attacking me on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Great. Yeah. What is she saying?
Awesome. Rock on.
What is she saying?
Because she was defending the Marines and what the Marines did. These certain few disgusting Marines who disgrace the Corps and disgraced America.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're going crazy.
Broke American law.
Yes.
And she was saying, oh, all these people who are
so offended. And put American troops in danger, by the way.
All these pro-lifers who have no pro-choicers who have no problem with killing babies, but they're offended at our Marines, P-blank-S-S-I-N-G on some terrorists. Now, this is offensive for a lot of reasons, besides the fact that it's changing the subject and that these Marines were breaking the law, breaking the code of the Corps, and making life dangerous for the rest of us by doing this disgusting thing, had nothing to do with abortion. And
right.
And so, you know, I wrote back saying, so hang on, so you guys are not offended by these guys desecrating corpses, endangering U.S. lives, defiling the Marine Corps, breaking laws, but you're offended by the word P-blank-S-S-I-N-G. You're too tasteful for that.
Yeah.
And so now they're trying to make it all about abortion because I'm pro-abortion. I said, I've never met a pro-abortion person in my life.
Yep.
But I said, I don't like the terms pro-life or pro-choice. They're both manipulative. But I'm really pro not changing the subject because I know I'm morally indefensible. And now, of course, all the Breitbart raptors are going after me on Twitter.
Well, it's hard to top Andrew Breitbart's...
That's how I know my day has started.
It's hard to top Andrew Breitbart's last Twitter fight with you because, I think he kind of won that argument, didn't he?
It
just
was
say
a moment of beauty, yeah.
You Fugelsang.
And I was congratulating him. I was complimenting him. That was after he helped take down Anthony Weiner. And I said, I want to congratulate you on your first successful takedown of a non-black person.
Yes.
I was saying, you're not a racist. You're taking down Caucasians now, too.
Yeah.
Good
but
for
Andrew
you.
Didn't see it that
no.
way.
No. Odd.
Why is he
funny
so defensive?
That, I don't know.
Why? Glug, 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 glug.
Oh. Yeah, but.
What? What are you suggesting, John?
By the way.
I'm suggesting that guy's going to have to go through the step that involves amends at some point.
Okay.
All right.
Hopefully he'll start with you. Now, the other thing, by the way, besides putting Americans and American troops in danger, is it complicates peace talks so we can get the hell out of there.
Yeah. Exactly. But they don't want to get out of there.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, a former RNC researcher tweeted, this is a story. I could care less. Liberal media at work. And then a Breitbart blogger said, wrote, pile them up, let them rot on them.
Nice.
Nice. Nice.
That's assuming the same. That's assuming these people were terrorists, too, because,
if it's just
war, then there are no innocent victims.
Yeah, are they terrorists?
We have
no idea. Are these people using fear against American civilians to bring about a change of policy? Because that's what terrorism is. Mm-hmm. They're not. They're shooting at the guys who walked into their valley waving our flag, because Afghanistan's not a real country, and that's exactly what they're doing. It's not technically terrorism.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of the right-wing blogosphere getting stuff wrong, we don't know where that was this morning, Chris, but I was described as what? A Jewess? Yeah.
Yes, who danced in the nude at the Itchy Kitty in Reseda.
Yes.
Well, that's because you keep saying 14 after.
Yeah.
Assuming that you're ready. Right?
And that's what Eric in Ohio writes. Steph, that right-wing blog that described you as being a Jewish woman with huge boobs who danced at the Itchy Kitty and worked for Air America, I could be wrong. I think they mean Randy Rose.
Yeah.
Because I'm not, first of all, concave, my breasts.
Yeah.
Thank you, as you pointed out. Not Jewish, didn't ever work for Air America, so I'm just saying.
Never danced nude.
Yeah.
At least in public.
There is no club. Exactly. There is no club called the Itchy Kitty. That's a fictional joke, but they didn't get it. Okay. All right. Chris in Yankton says, guys, do you suppose Huntsman could get Wizard back together to do a cover of the Sarah McLachlan song?
Excellent!
Oh, that's a great idea. We were suggesting a Sarah McLachlan commercial for his dying campaign because, we'd want people to stay in as long as possible. All right. Oh, Michael, Mike in Raleigh says, you're so bang, you probably think this song should be fired. Michael!
You're so bang.
Also, Mike sends me the news that the Sheboygan mayor is being recalled.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Burk,
burk, burk,
Sheboygan.
There we go.
Oh, by the way, we have a little bit of breaking news coming out of the White House.
Yes.
President Obama has just announced that he is going to elevate the small business administration to a cabinet level position.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yes.
He is shrinking government. He's a small government.
Yep. He is consolidating a whole bunch of government agencies and mm-hmm. he's shrinking government.
Uh oh.
Really?
He stole their last pinky.
Damn it.
Well, government is smaller now than Barack Obama took over. The federal government grew by 13 jobs and state governments have all been reduced.
Yep.
As opposed to Ronald Reagan, who grew the government by how many jobs?
A billion.
61,000.
Oh, huh? Wow. Thank you, John. All right, Sue in Rockville, Maryland. You're on with birthday boy Chris Lavoie.
Hello.
Hey, good morning. You know, I can't believe they keep confusing us, Steph. I'm the Jewish with the big boobs who danced at the Itchy Kitty.
Yeah.
Wow. That's right.
For the love of God.
Whatever. I'm the elder. I'm the flat elderly shut-in. Go ahead.
Chris, happy birthday.
Thank you, Sue.
How old are you?
People.
Oh,
how old are you, Chris?
I'm 43. I'm not ashamed to say it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, you're a mere baby compared to two of your famous brethren who share a birthday with you.
Rip Taylor and Charles Nelson Reilly.
Charles. But Rip Taylor is still alive and well at 78.
Yes,
he is. Go have a margarita with him.
And Francis Sternhagen is 82 today.
Great actor. Right.
Yeah.
Lots of great people out there, including Chris Lavoie.
Oh,
Lavoie. All right. I'll give Siri a day off from trying to fire
Julia you. Louis Dreyfus is today. Yeah.
Rick Taylor and Charles. I mean, how awesome is that, Sheriff?
You know what movie Francis Sternhagen got her Oscar nomination for?
What?
Francis.
Oh!
Something else to look forward to my next conversation with Jessica Lange when I stalk her on the hiking trails.
You mean it wasn't for Misery?
I don't know. All right.
I think she got an axe in the back in Misery.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. The headline is Romney readies Bain counterattack. You know, he usually like stumbles horribly yeah. for a few days, and then they're all okay. And then they pour all this money in, right, to try to fix it. They're polishing new messaging tailored to rebut Republican uh-huh. and Democratic attacks separately. They're queuing up new commercial. The change comes following 3 days of...
Those people are fired. They just are on vacation.
Sure.
I give them an extra long vacation.
They're at a farm now where they can be happy. 3 days of stumbling responses from Romney and campaign aides who admit they were caught unprepared for the explosion of Bain as the dominant topic in the Republican race. Ha, 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 tea and then a he. They'll start with advertisements featuring employees of companies started and rescued by Bain. Oh, uh-huh. I see. A little mm-hmm. cherry pick
yeah.
there.
Yeah. yeah.
I thought I would never say this on this show. I agree with Sarah Palin. He should offer some proof of his 100,000, this figure he keeps throwing out that he created 100,000 jobs, because most experts are saying...
Computer says no. Nah.
And furthermore...
You're a lying sack of crap.
Mittens.
You're a liar.
Mm-hmm. One senior Romney advisor said being in favor of capitalism is always a major positive in the Republican primary. And this is the problem is other Republicans have made a point of showing this is not normal capitalism.
Right. No.
Yeah. Romney said, we understood for a long time Obama people would come after free enterprise. A little surprised to see Newt Gingrich as the first witness for the prosecution. he said, I don't think that's going to hurt my efforts, except he's wrong. They're tied now in yep. South Carolina, essentially. 23% to 21%, Romney and Gingrich. Yeah, so this is what this is going to be the talking point, that anybody is anti-capitalist and has anything to say about the way Bain went about capitalism. Still, the Romney camp acknowledges the past few days may have some lasting damage.
You think?
One chief strategist said he expected Romney's inartful words. I like the one we wouldn't ever hold that against him or ever play it again, but I'm just saying.
I like being able to fire people.
Yeah. We'll haunt him in advertisements for the rest of the campaign, you
will.
Think?
And
I like
you know
being
what?
Able to fire people.
Really?
And it is taken totally out of context from the parable he was using, but mm. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I just
but in
don't
the context
care.
Of his career, it's...
Well, that and his own, I know what it's like to be fired. I really do.
I like being able to fire people.
Because I fired so many myself, I know exactly what it's like.
Well, I just love this whole mentality of the right that, like, you know, first off, that Barack Obama is a complete failure because he's kept in place too many of the Bush policies that Mittens himself is running on. It's not capitalism. It's cronyism. It's vulturism. It's all these other words we're hearing, but it's not capitalism. It's ripping people off. We're not anti-capitalism. We're anti-criminal greed. And yep. we're anti-outsourcing American jobs overseas and then bragging about being a job creator.
Yeah, I think the president's already lapping them on every subject pretty
now,
much.
Now, my attitude is I've already signed $1 trillion worth of spending cuts. I proposed even more. It's time, when we're talking about reducing the deficit, to also ask people like me to pay our fair share in taxes. We can do that.
Mm-hmm. And then he talked about the choices this year.
We've got a clear choice this year. The question is not whether people are still hurting, the economy is still recovering. Of course, folks are still hurting. We've got a long way to go. The question is, what are we going to do about it? Where are we going to go? What direction does this country move towards?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. The president one more time on the Republican record.
The Republicans in Congress, the presidential candidates who are running, they've got a very specific idea about where they want to take this country. I mean, they've said it. They said they want to reduce the deficit by gutting our investments in education, gutting our investments in research and technology, letting our infrastructure further deteriorate.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, this just in.
What?
President Obama's reelection campaign announced $68 million in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It's that is I believe it nearly triples Mitt Romney's fourth quarter haul, and it's all more than all the Republican rivals combined.
Yes.
Once again, a lot of donors, 1.3 million, and the average donation at $55 a piece. The same kind of stuff that happened mm-hmm. in 2008. 200,000 new people donated to the campaign for the first time, an indication there's fresh interest in the president's reelection.
Mm-hmm.
The president will face unprecedented amount of opposition from independent groups, obviously, after Citizens United is what they're saying. It'll be the first presidential election held, obviously, in post-Citizens United time. The president, here's the difference. They're going to say, oh, well, everybody can do that. The president has super PACs, too, but they're just not nearly as well-funded as Republicans.
Right.
So that may be deceptive how much he's raised, because they keep saying they throw out this number, he's going to raise $1 billion. But, I mean, look, we'll talk about next just the three billionaires alone who are going to drag out the Republican primary.
By the way, the White House has categorically denied the billion-dollar goal.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they? It's a made-up number.
Yeah.
And by the way, I want to thank Mitt Romney for being the enthusiasm generator for for jaded jaded Obama supporters, because he's going to get them riled up again.
Yeah.
People who gave up on Obama are going to become reinvigorated in hope and change as soon as they see honky Mitt Romney out there.
Yeah, here he is, campaign Obama.
I've said before, I'm not a perfect man. I'm not a perfect president. But I've promised you this, and I've kept this promise. I will always tell you what I believe. I will always tell you where I stand. I will wake up every single day thinking about how I can make this country better, and I will spend every ounce of energy that I have fighting for you.
I like that, Obama.
47 minutes after the hour, right back. Remaining moments of Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, that is like magic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
What? 52 minutes after the hour. Can I get a...
What?
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Justin in Orange County. Chris, it's for you!
Hey, Justin.
Hey, Chris. How are you doing? Happy birthday. Can
you
do me a favor
and
walk over to Stephanie's area so she can spank you for your birthday on camera? For
oh, God.
I'm going to break my hand off in that.
Oh.
That's a muscly butt.
That's so hot it would melt the Ustream, sir.
That's a yikes.
Yeah,
that would be...
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that.
All right. Dear God. That's hard. Okay.
I got a nice butt. What can I say?
Yeah. Well, it's a requirement here at the Stephanie Miller Show. Chris and Yankton, John Fugelsang, it's a dry hate, best line ever. Mm-hmm. At least so far. I'm sure you guys will top it shortly. Looks at watch, taps foot. Okay. All right.
Oh,
sure.
Wow.
All
under
right.
Pressure.
Oh, let's do a billionaire dating game. Let's meet the three billionaires who are going to drag out the Republican primary for us and thank them. They're dating some of the Republican candidates, but they're all going to...
They're all
the rest of us eventually.
Duds.
Yeah. Yeah, I love them now. I will hate them when because they're going to run ads against Obama.
Yeah.
But right now,
yes.
I love them. Love them, love them. Meet the three billionaires who could drag out the Republican primary, bloody up frontrunner Mitt Romney, and weaken the odds of defeating President Obama, Sheldon Adelson, Foster Freeze, and John Huntsman Sr.
Foster Freeze?
Foster Freeze.
What?
It's like a tasty freeze.
Yeah.
F-R-I-E-S-S.
Oh, so it's not...
Freeze. Foster Freeze.
Yeah, Foster's Freeze is something completely different.
All right, well...
It's
whatever.
Like what Carvel is for us East Coasters.
Yeah, exactly.
Is he related to Gum Freeze? The three men are...
Only if you're doing cocaine.
Three men are contributing millions of dollars to a trio of outside groups flooding the airwaves in early voting states with brutal ads attacking Romney and backing the candidates they would prefer. Adelson, the Las Vegas casino mogul, wrote a $5 million check. He's a nudie guy.
Yep.
His super PAC is backing Newt Gingrich.
Super, thanks for asking.
Huntsman Sr. is, of course, supporting his wizard son, John Huntsman Jr. And Freese from Wyoming is a major financial backer of a super PAC supporting Rick Santorum. It's called the Red, White, and Blue Fund.
Oh,
you think it would be brown
subtle.
If it were. Rick Santorum.
Yes.
The prospect that these candidates could carry on is a testament to the new world of campaign money ushered in by Citizens United.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
A single wealthy donor can now prop up a presidential campaign with unlimited cash, even if the candidate is getting little traction with voters. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's like all these dead campaigns walking. Friese laughed off a story that said meet Foster Friese, billionaire who bought Iowa for Santorum. I told my wife, wow, I got a bargain.
Oh, it's like a rich person joke. In a quiet room.
The propping up of super PACs by Allison Friese and Huntsman Sr. has some establishment Republicans grumbling privately. The men may be hurting the party.
Yep.
King and the heat.
By setting the stage for a long and damaging primary battle that won't block Romney from winning, but will leave him limping in the general election.
I have more speech than you. I have more speech than you.
Some have even made veiled threats of retribution if the men don't back off. Oh, this is getting good.
Oh, good. Yay.
Oh, yeah. Adelson's camp seemed less than amused. They were asked about recent comments by John Sununu, Romney surrogate, where he basically threatened them. He said, does he think people don't remember when you attack them and pay for the attacks in the primary, especially when one of the parties receiving that attack is the same investment community that he likes to go to finance his expansions? There's just no common sense in this process. You kind of feel sorry for people that aren't that bright. Adelson's spokesperson said, Mr. Adelson is one of the world's leading entrepreneurs and has risen from humble beginnings to become one of the wealthiest people on the planet. So apparently there's still some hope for the not-so-bright. Oh, kids, don't fight! You're all bad.
One of those guys is going to wind up on a horse's head in his bed.
And might John I say, Sununu, he's the logical conclusion of Augustus Gloop.
and might I say that Sheldon Adelson is the owner of the Venetian and the Palazzo in Las Vegas. So think of that next time you're making your Las Vegas plans.
Yes, won't you?
So that's where your money's going.
Want to know who the five biggest Coke suckers are? The five U.S. Senators are perfect Coke Brothers servants. They got a perfect 100% score from the Koch brothers group. So, you know, they vote for everything that the Koch brothers would like them to do.
Of course.
The Senator Tom Coburn, Republican Mike Crapo, Republican Warren.
Yugelsang says, don't make fun of a goofy name.
Okay. Orrin Hatch, Marco.
Paul Rubio.
Thank you. Ron Johnson, who have received a combined $187,000 from the...
Oh, it's so bad his name wasn't
Ron Johnson. Johnson beat Russ Feingold. That's how. The Coke sucker money.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. All right, and finally, one celebrity stack before we go. Madonna says love and happiness keep her young. She's dating someone much younger.
Huh,
imagine that.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Huh,
that's not too hard these days, is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
what's
John!
I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
What's my secret, love? That's the important thing to me. I agree. This is love, dating someone much younger, and the ability to burp.
Hi, I'm Madonna.
Okay.
That has got to be at least 30 years old now, that soundbite.
She's a prodigious burper like me.
Yes.
JohnFuglesang.com, sexyliberal.com is the website. Check it out. Hurry, get those tickets going fast in Philly and Chicago and Albuquerque and on and on. And we'll have sexy liberal announcements next week as well. John Fuglesang, thank you.
Thank you so much, Steph. Have a great weekend.
You too. See you Monday. I'm Stephanie Miller.
Happy birthday, Chris.
Thank you, John.